on, bloodsucker.
You're going to have to do your own dirty work now. Do you hear me? Do you?
Kirk. Kirk, you're still alive, my old friend.
Still? Old friend. You've managed to kill just about everyone else, but like a poor marksman, you keep missing the target.
Perhaps I no longer need to try.
Oh, no!
The joy can't take it!
Come. Khan, you've got Genesis.
But you don't have me. You are going to kill me, Khan. You're going to have to come down here. You're going to have to come down here.
I've done far worse than kill you. I've hurt you. And I wish to go on hurting you. I shall leave you as you left me. As you left her. Marooned for all eternity in the center of a dead planet. Buried alive. Buried alive.
Come! Come!
Now, coming to you from the CD Game Exchange Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
I could just play that speech all day. I could make that the whole of the program. Rich Corinthian soundbites all the day long. Why, hello. It's 3 minutes and 48 seconds after the hour of 11, and that just looks painful. I'm sorry. That's not fair in the audience. You don't know what I'm talking about. I'll explain it here in a second. It's 3 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of July, in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We're live from the plushly appointed in rich Corinthian leather. Yet not the overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 solid state. I'm going to say rich Corinthian leather like 50 more times today. Blah, 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 here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, a proud part of the CBS Radio family. Why, hello. This is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. It is Monday, and welcome to Day 12. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You'd like to be part of today's program with whatever, your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. It's 503-733-2970. Firmly ensconced in the call screening chair, as he always is, the one and only Scotty J. They're eagerly awaiting your phone call, so don't hesitate. Dial early and often. It is 503. My microphone sounds fantastic today. Hello. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You want to email as well, you can do that. It's rick at rickemerson.com. For myself, your humble narrator, 503-733... Doing the whole thing. I'm sorry. I can't operate email and speak at the same time. Let me click. All right. It's rick at rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. You want to email today? You want to email everybody else? It's Tim at 970.am, Sarah with an H at 970.am, or Scotty J at 970.am. And again, our phone number is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I don't even know where to begin today. So what I'll do is I'll just give an overview of what the things we've got scheduled. The bricks, as it were. And then we'll go about talking about the mortar. We got Lisa Goddard coming up later on this hour. We're going to be about talking about all manner of the political events and happenings and things and whatnots. Jim Roop coming up. Jim Roop is talking about Harry Potter for some reason, but I'm not even really sure why. Wait. Oh, I swear to God. Okay, attention. Now, I know I'm a big tool and a nerd and all, but listen to this now. You want to hear the geekiest story ever? The stars of the Harry Potter series, that is Daniel Radcliffe, Rupert Grint. Boy, has there ever been a more British name than that? Hello, my name is Rupert Grint. Rupert Grint sounds like he ought to be the guy that that forecloses on the orphans in one of those Lemony Snicket novels. You know what I mean? We've been put... Mr. Grint has put us out on the streets! And then, like, Rupert Grint is a guy with, like, a long nose and a pince-nez. In any event, Daniel Radcliffe, Rupert Grint... He could never be American. There could be no American guy would ever have the name Rupert Grint. Doesn't even sound real. Sounds made up. And Emma Watson. That's a really British name, too. Maybe it's because I'm thinking of Emma Thompson, but I don't know. Anyway, Daniel, Rupert, and Emma Watson are scheduled, I swear to God, at Grauman's Chinese Theater. I thought it was Mann's Chinese Theater.
They changed it a long time ago. They do it for Robert Thomas. They still call it Grauman's.
So, but it's Mann's, but they call it Grauman's for the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Because
for
otherwise...
For some reason, I don't know why.
Because non-Angelinos would not know what they were referring to.
I guess not.
All right.
They tell people it's down at the Brown Derby. So even though it was torn down like 20 years ago, this one is the Brown Derby. You might see the stars there.
Come see lovely Xanadu, won't you?
And stop at Schwab's Drug.
Schwab's, okay, that's it. We're going to go out on that one because I can't top it. Schwab's Drugs. Who was it that was discovered at Schwab's? Was it Jane Mansfield?
I think it was Lana Turner.
Lana Turner. Yeah. Sipping a soda. Probably a made-up story, but
not
it's great.
The side of the Virgin Megastore. And Starbucks.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. What is that record store they just closed down there? Is it Amoeba?
Tower.
No, well, there's Tower. But then there was some California-only store, I guess, that was all legendary that they just changed on.
It could have been Amoeba.
I think it might have been Amoeba, because there's two of those. There's one in San Fran, and then there's one in Los Angeles. And I think they closed the one in L.A.
Yeah, last time I was in San Francisco, it was still open.
Well, anywho, this is just still a tease. I shouldn't even be giving the whole story, but Daniel Radcliffe, Rupert Grint, and Emma Watson. Can't get past Rupert Grint. Rupert Grint and Emma Watson from the Harry Potter series are at Grauman's Chinese Theater, I swear to God. Putting their wands in cement. Yes, Daniel Radcliffe and Rupert Grint, kids, will be putting their wands into wet cement right in front of you.
It makes you wonder if they change the cement there, because how could all these stars over the past 60 years have room to put prints there?
That's a good question, actually. Does Mann's? Because I've seen that place, and there's not that much room out there.
No, there isn't.
I wonder if they rotate it. Some guy goes out there and
cement.
Chisels up Hedy Lamarr's. Let me just get rid of this. All right. Let me put Chico Marx in the back. Hold on. Wham. Back there so, like, Queen Latifah can go out and put her handprints in something. Fantastic. All right. We don't need this C. Thomas Howell plant. Let me just put that in the back. What else? Steve Kastenbaum is going to join us today. Also, Clyde Lewis from GroundZeroMedia.org. We got a Geek Watch coming up today. Indiana Jones news, kids. It may or may not be true, but it doesn't matter. It's not going to stop me from passing it along as though it were the God's honest gospel. So we'll have a little bit of news about Indiana Jones for just speculation, really. Just rumor and ill-founded gossip. And we'll have a little update on the bet that we placed with Court and Fatboy over the Transformers 6-day gross. So we'll, the final figures are being tallied. I don't know if they're actually come out yet. They were, all I saw last night were estimates about the Transformers 6-day haul. So we will, later on today, though, we will reveal who the winner of the Transformers bet is, whether it's this show or the Court and Fatboy show on KUFO. We want to give those guys a big shout-out, by the way. They got a huge thing. Was it the A&E?
Yeah, the A&E for the Oregonian Friday.
The A&E in that Culture Pulp section. What's his name? Mike Russell, that guy's name is. He did a full page. It was really cool, actually. If you're going to copy the A&E around, look for the Culture Pulp thing. It's a full page, like, cartoon strip version of an interview with Court and Fatboy. It's really cool. I'm not doing it justice, but it's a full page interview with them done as a cartoon, as a comic. It's really great. So check that out. What else? And your phone calls and the whatnot and the... It's 503-733-2970. This is... You know, we're talking about Transformers, and then I'm looking down here at the screen and at that, and then people are already again... We haven't even said anything. There's nothing about this. We haven't read any news about it. We haven't even talked about it yet. And people are already calling about that idiot priest and his female companion who were in a ditch somewhere. Really, do people care this much? I guess they must. All right. Anywho, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
My allergies are killing me.
Now, see... I'm just, no offense. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to pause right there. We're going to go to Tim. We'll talk. Because here's the thing. We're going to double back then because your introduction will then segue into how we spend our weekend.
Okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification on this Monday.
But I know how Sarah X. Dillon feels because I sneezed the other day and I felt like I collapsed my left lung. And think I might not be able to make it into work.
Oh, I know. I'm dying.
Have you ever had one of those where it's like a sneeze?
Yeah.
And
it seems harmless.
And pain radiates out through all of your extremities. I'll do that where it's like you sneeze, and I swear to God, it's like your bones are coming unhinged from one another
it's
inside.
Like you're always far from home, and there's nobody around. They will find me by the side of the road in about a week unless I take action now.
We found some newsman bones by the side of the... And it's one of those where you... And I've had this, too, where I have sneezed, and then, again, sometimes I'll sneeze, and it's like pain just from my solar plexus... just sort of travels down my legs and my arms, and you wonder exactly how many sneezes. It's like I remember being in a stadium one time for some football game. I don't remember what it was. Some sporting event somewhere, but I was at some stadium, and it was like a tie or a sudden death overtime or whatever, and there's like 20,000 people. It must have been in Seattle. It must have been at the Kingdom for something. I don't think it was a concert. Well, whatever. Anyway, so could it have been a Seahawks game? I guess it's possible. But it was like some sort of sudden death overtime, and like 50,000 morons just start stamping their feet in unison. And you start to think to yourself, I don't care who engineered this building, realizing that it was built by the lowest bidder. And you're like, there's no way that they accounted for 50,000 pairs of feet banging down on the ground in unison. And you start to realize that this is going to collapse. I'm going to die in here with these fools. And so then when you sneeze sometimes, I think about the actual kinetic force that travels through your body when you sneeze. And you start to think, like, how many sneezes would it take for, like, my elbow just to come detached, you know, at, like, the joint or something? Can't be good for you. And so have you ever had this, too? Sometimes you'll sneeze or you'll do something and you'll get a pain, but it's just in your left arm. And then you start thinking,
heart attack.
And you start wondering where the nearest InstaCare facility is.
Well,
you may not have thought about it before, but now you will. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, we have mostly local news today because, well, local people are a constant source of amusement. It was a bloody weekend for Washougal Motocross. It's going to be 102 degrees here tomorrow. The Gladstone Naked Man is caught following a four-hour pursuit. Another mini riot at Clackamas County, prompting authorities to think maybe we should ban alcohol here. Good luck. Katie Couric beats a CBS co-worker and laughs heartily. Clay Aiken is beaten up by a girl, and a Metallica singer is thought to have terrorist whiskers.
This is fantastic. It's already the best day ever.
Mm-hmm.
Clay Aiken beaten up by a woman. The day doesn't get any better than that.
Fantastic.
That's just a second clip. Uh-huh. And plenty of lesbians smooching at the bus office.
Well, all right then. We also got a lesbian new direction email that some guy sent to us. So that, we'll spin the wheel of what the hell are we going to do next and so forth. Oh, and remember last week I was talking about that spot for a product called Pearl Cream, in which, now I'm, because we had played that ancient Chinese secret, eh? The Calgon thing, where it's like, but Mr. Lee, what about, how do you get my clothes so clean? Ancient Chinese secret. And then I had mentioned that there was this infomercial for a product called Pearl Cream, in which an Asian woman came out, and she said, to my recollection of it was her saying, you may have noticed you cannot tell how old Asian women are. Somebody found the commercial and sent it to me, and it's so much more hilarious than I even remembered. So we'll play that later. Somebody found the Pearl Cream spot. It is a real product. All right. Well, we don't have any... I intentionally scheduled Lisa late in the hour, and we don't have any other guests, so that we can talk about Vanilla Ice. Because that's really what it's all about. Jesus. So, Sarah, we're going to work backward from your nose. So, you are sneezing today because you have allergies, and you're going to have... well, we'll get some Claritin for you in the break, but I...
Thank you.
Now, would you like to share with people why your sneezing hurts you so much today, or would you like me to do it?
Well, I can say the evolution. Well,
go ahead.
Well, we went out and had a few drinks before Vanilla Ice, and we were at this awesome bar next to Outlaws called the B-Side. And my friend owns, and so we were there having a few drinks. Scotty J was there with his buddy, taking some shots, doing what they do. And then we found out there was a piercing place, and just decided, and I'm like, well, you know, if somebody's willing to fork over some cash for it, I'll pierce my
system. Now, did you end up paying for it, or did somebody else? Well, let's stop here. So we were at the venue for Vanilla Ice, and They had a mobile piercing place set up inside.
It was weird. They had like a full-on like piercing studio in there in this like separate little room.
It's weird, which I didn't think you could do. I thought that it was... I thought that you had to have some, like, you know, I don't know, like some like health permit or something there. Or, you know, but maybe they did. So I don't know what that's all about. But anyway, so we're at the venue where Vanilla Ice is, and they have this mobile piercing thing. And then you at some point, because it was so loud, there were, I mean, it's a great show, but there were four opening acts. Mentor.
Yeah, and I didn't, and I have to say, I could not, you got there a lot earlier than I did.
Oh, dude.
I can't be someplace for like 6 hours at a time.
And it was packed. I mean, it was packed. You couldn't have gotten another person there with a shoehorn. It was unbelievably crowded. And the street team, the red shirts, they did a great job. They were, you know, giving out prizes and they were doing the whatever. And of course, the doors opened later than we thought because we're like, giveaways start at 7 o'clock. Your doors open at 7, and then of course that got pushed back to the doors open at 8. And then by the time the sound check got done, I think it was like 8:45. So we should probably take the evening in order. So we showed up to the place on Saturday, you know, place where Vanilla Ice was going to be performing, the whole deal. We had a whole night planned. I show up, and there is a line, like, down the block, around to the other side. Three sides of that building. I mean, it was one of the longest lines I have ever seen for anything. It's for Vanilla, no disrespect to Vanilla Ice, but if you had told me that there was going to be a line practically around the building to see that guy perform, I would have thought you were on crack. So it just blew my mind. So we go in there. There's four opening bands. There's this band Mentor, who were pretty great. And then there was a band Fist of Dishonor, who were like a ninja rock band. And it was like some weird anime version of GWAR.
That was so weird.
They were doing a bunch of, like, yeah, weird stage play. And, like, somebody got cut with a knife. And, like, a snow leopard came out. And there was a battle on stage.
And they were shooting arrows with feet.
At some point, a woman stood on her hands and shot an arrow into the wall with her feet while a ninja guy played keyboards. It was so weird. It was bizarre. And then Sarah and I got up and Sarah and I and Scotty got up on stage and we did a stage announcement. So thanks for coming out. Wah, wah. Some other people played. And I know I'm telling the story all fragmented, but there was so much from that night. So there's a mobile piercing place set up at the venue on Saturday, and Sarah just out of the blue just is like, I think I'm going to get my septum pierced, which is not a thing that you just sort of hear people volunteer a lot.
That's what I've always done, though. I'm very, like, spontaneous with those kind of decisions. Like, when my friend went to get her nose pierced when I was in London, I just decided to get my labret done because it's something that I always wanted to do. And
sure.
Piercings close. You know, I totally have a fear of tattoos. All my friends are covered in tattoos.
Now, why would you get pierced but not a tattoo? You don't want it to be permanent?
Yeah, I don't want it to be permanent.
Right, fair enough.
Because this is removable.
Right.
And plus, I change my mind too easily. Yeah. I change it too frequently. I don't want to be tattooed with something forever.
See, I didn't think you were really going to do it. I thought that you were going to talk about getting your septum pierced on Saturday and then later be like, no, I didn't do it. So now, the best part was, Sarah and I are texting each other back and forth like nerds on Saturday. And she's like, ask if they, because you're next door at another place drinking, some other bar drinking. And Sarah's like, ask if they will do my septum. And so I like lean into the tattoo place. I'm like, will you guys do the septum? And they, without even looking at the guy's like, yeah. I said, how much? $38. So I text back Sarah. They will pierce your septum for $38. Sarah texts me back, too expensive. See if someone will pay for it. Spoken like a true radio person. Can you find someone else? Can we trade this out? And so did you end up paying for your own piercing or did someone else do it?
What's kind of unfortunate is that somebody said that they were going to pay for it, mm-hmm. and then they didn't end up paying for the whole thing. So actually Raul had to pick up some of the tabs, which I thought, but I didn't know. He didn't tell me about it till the next day because I had assumed.
Your boyfriend had to step in and finish paying.
Seriously,
for it.
Because the other person's like, oh, well, I didn't really think she'd do it, so I don't really want to pay
was
for it.
Was this Chris Boba Fett?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So
I know,
he
and
offered
I didn't
to pay for it and then he backed out once it was done? Well done, my friend. Way to be a man. Way
I'm
to
just
blow
saying,
your
I,
shot.
Raul asked me not to say anything, but you know,
it's too late. I'm saying it.
Yeah, it's too late, and it sucked because
offered
I didn't
to
realize
pay. He offered to pay for your piercing, and then when you did it, he wouldn't pay for it. Way to blow your shot, friend. Way to show.
And you know that I love Chris.
Totally, but
he's
come
just
on. How much of it did he end up paying for?
Okay,
like
so the
$4.
Thing is,
yes.
Yeah, the thing is, all right. So he said. Because he's like, oh, well, I don't know what I'm going to do now. And you know, and Raul's like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, I didn't think she'd actually do it.
I only have $3 on
me. Like, well, she said she was going to do it. So he had actually gone to the ATM and gotten out some money. And then Raul was like, Okay, he's like, okay, he's like, I'll just pay for, you know, whatever you don't want to. Right. And Boba Fett's like, all right, I'll pay for $20 of it. So he paid for $20. Raul gave him 40, and then Boba Fett gave him back, like, 15. So I think,
confusing.
Actually, yes, I think that Raul gave, like, 30. Well, you might have paid for the whole thing.
Well,
I don't know.
Done. Well done. All right. Let's, we can go ahead and fade this mono bad out, I guess, actually, because we're going to take this a little bit later anyway. So, all right. So this is... All right. He's already, of course, Chris is already on the phone. Boba is already on the phone calling to give his side of it. I don't even know where else to take this. So Sarah ends up getting, so does it hurt? Because they pierced
your
septum.
Hurt. It didn't hurt when it happened, but it's really painful today.
Does your whole face hurt? Does it radiate out?
It's not my face, but it's just my nose. And it's something that I've always wanted to do. I don't think it looks especially good on me.
For people who don't know what the pierced septum is, and please forgive me, it's a ring through your
nose.
It's a bull ring. It's like you'd put through a bull. It's like a ring through the nose. Not that big, obviously, but I don't know. I think it might be one brush stroke too many on you. I think it's like you got a lot going on with you. I think it might be one.
But
one,
I don't. I took out the pink out of my hair. I mean, I don't really have a lot going on.
I'm just saying. But you wear a lot of bangly jewelry and a lot of big, chunky earrings and stuff. I think it might be one ornament too many on the tree. That's
all I'm
saying.
I'm going to give it a week and see. And I'm going to at least let it heal so that way it's there. And I'm going to try a smaller ring.
The best part is that you've got heavy allergies right now, so your nose is running. So her nose is running, and she's having to blow her nose. And I see Sarah constantly wiping something away, and I'm like, is that blood or allergies? She's like, a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
I don't know. One of my girlfriends actually was looking at me. She's like, ew, you look really bad. thank you very much, you know?
I don't even know what else. Thanks so much.
I know.
I don't even know where else to go right now.
So I got pierced.
And then mailman Chris did. So this, it was the weirdest. I got to say, if you were not there for our 777 spectacular, you really did miss out. So Sarah gets her septum pierced. I look around. Mailman Chris is like, dude, I'm totally getting my tongue pierced. It was weird. It was just like there was some weird energy in the air that night. Because the next thing I know, he's over there and the guy has like, whatever, like salad tongs or something. And is like holding his tongue out and getting ready to like pierce it with a huge like pointy thing. And all I remember when you pierce somebody's tongue is it just makes a loud popping noise. That's the really off-putting part. Just a loud snapping sound when it goes right through. And then there's a lot of uncontrollable drooling that happens. So Chris got his tongue pierced. Sarah got her septum pierced. We'll get to actor Vanilla Ice himself here in just a second. And in fact, before we do anything else, let me see. Do I even have this here? I have something exciting. I believe, and I apologize that I do not have this handy. We'll have to just play this on the fly, as they say.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kicked you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Scotty J. Hi, Scotty J. How are you today?
Good morning, Astoria.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
All right.
you have to premeditate that, or else it's not funny. Scotty, what do you think? One brush stroke too many?
Sarah's septum ring. What do you think?
Oh well, Scotty's wearing a V-neck like mesh T-shirt. No, I can.
Who are you
personally.
To make assessments? All right. So I don't even know, and we only what sucks is we only got like 10 minutes before we got a break. But I don't even know where to begin with the rest of the night's festivities. It is all summed up. Vanilla Ice, that whole night is summed up by this question from Scotty this morning. Sarah and Scotty and I were sitting in the studio today, and Scotty comes in and he says, "Did I get my picture taken with Vanilla Ice?" The fact that you do not even remember.
I remember following you around in some corridor and around furniture and pool tables and stuff. I remember that.
I know that I am mangling this whole night because I don't even know in what order to tell all of the stories from the Vanilla Ice show on Saturday. But really, I have never seen someone so drunk in all my life, Scotty.
Thank you.
It's not a... Okay, well, sure. I guess be good at something. I have never... You were so drunk...
You said that so many times. I need some proof because I left before you guys did.
Do you now? Let's see here. Now, let's see. Is the Scotty audio here? Or did I leave it?
Only you carry
a
recorder around.
Did I leave it up on my computer? I may have to run back up and actually put it down here. I think I might have left it on my computer upstairs.
That's a shame.
Yeah. No. I'll find it. It's on my computer upstairs. So So Vanilla Ice does his set, and the whole, by the way, we didn't walk out of that place till like 2:30 in the morning, because it started late, four opening acts. We introduce Vanilla Ice, which was great. By the, do you remember that? Do you remember standing on stage and introducing
him? I remember
him?
The concert. It was just not until the end when we were walking around those pool tables and stuff that the lights started getting dim.
It was unreal. And so Vanilla comes out. He does his set, which was great. I do have to say
it was
fantastic. It was really, really good. And, I mean, that is a guy. I'll say this right up front about Vanilla Ice. That's a guy, whatever you think about him, that's a guy who could be, he could spend the rest of his life putting on the shiny pants and playing a high school reunion every weekend for $10,000 for the rest, playing, just basically doing his first album the way that people remember it. I mean, that's a guy who could be on an absolute nostalgia cash-in right now, dressed the way he used to dress, singing the way he used to sing, doing the old stuff, and he'd make a huge living at that.
Well, he totally got the audience pumped up. I mean, he really brought the energy when he came out there.
Yeah, it was. So that guy obviously is doing what he wants to do the way he wants to do it. He played Ice Ice Baby about halfway through, third of the way into the set, but the audience stuck around after that because it was a really high energy set. He was like working the crowd. He was having chanting. I mean, it was the people doing the sing along, and people were coming up on stage, and it was really great. I mean, it was just, it really was like a great club show, in just the truest sense of the word. So. What else do we even need to talk about from Saturday? Oh, here's another great moment from Saturday. So we're at the Vanilla Ice show. We're standing kind of off, sort of backstage. My brain is just like cheesecloth today. So I'm telling all these anecdotes out of order. We're sitting backstage and watching a Vanilla do his show. And then I look over, and of course, who is standing to my immediate right backstage but Tommy Heath, alias Tommy Two-Tone, 867-5309.
That was so cool.
It was so cool.
And you were a little kid. You're like grabbing my arm. Like,
I'm like, right in front of you. Tommy, shoot him. And here's the thing. And this doesn't mean to sound, I don't mean for this to sound like a knock. This may sound like I'm being snarky, and I really don't mean for it to.
What, him in his sunglasses the entire time?
Well, that's his look, though.
Isn't he a mortgage broker now or something like that?
He's doing something. He has some real job.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got his, like, hot wife or whatever with him. But the thing I've learned is, because I've been to enough of these shows now, if you go to any Portland rock show and you are backstage or in a VIP area, Tommy Two-Tone will be there. He will be standing there. It's like it's like a matter of time. At any Portland musical event in the VIP area, you will turn around and eventually there is the 867-5309 guy. When I went to see Roger Klein and the Peacemakers a couple weeks ago.
Or an array of other drunken people from Portland that we know.
Yes.
Oh, so I wasn't the only one.
No, so we're watching the show, and Vanilla Ice brings Tommy Two-Tone up on stage. And obviously there's no band, so he just has the crowd chant 867-5309 like 100 times. And then Tommy waves and walks off. And you know what? It's easy to make fun of a guy like that, Tommy Two-Tone, and just be like, it's easy to sort of, one-hit wonder, and he's still showing up at gigs backstage 25 years later. But you know what? I was thinking about it, and I have no problem with it. Because you know what? Life, for the most part, sucks. Life is miserable. You work for somebody you hate. You go to a job. Your life is miserable. You get cancer. You die someday. And you know what? So you come into the world, and basically life just spends about 75 years beating you down and taking any opportunity to make your existence miserable. And so a guy like that, whether he lucked into it, whether he earned it, whatever, you know what? That guy sang a song that a lot of people liked. And so you know what? For the rest of his life, that's going to get him backstage, going to get him some free drinks,
yeah,
going to get him
I'd,
some attention. You know what?
I'd take the one hit.
Totally. I mean, just roll with it, dude. If life hands you something, don't feel ashamed. If life hands you a lucky break, you just exploit that as long as you possibly can. People can make all the fun they want of a guy like that, but you know what? You take it and work it as long as you possibly can. So, do you remember taking a picture with Tommy Two-Tone?
I took a picture with somebody. I remember the flash.
Oh, geez.
All right. So, okay, so I don't even know what else.
I think you should play some of the audio.
Well, I'll have to go upstairs. It's not on my computer. It's on my computer upstairs. I just realized that. So, the problem is if we do that, we're going to have to bump Lisa. So, we could bump Lisa till next hour.
Or maybe we could delay it, or play it way later.
Do you want to do Lisa right at 12:10?
Yeah, and then we could just extend the news hour.
All right. So,
can you call CNN today?
So let's finish here. We'll break in a second, and then we'll come back, and we'll move Lisa to 1210 if we can. Because we've still got Boba Fett's side of Sarah's piercing story. We've got the Scotty audio to play. Do you remember putting a lot of fake tattoos on your arms and then demanding that everybody look at your guns? Oh, you're still wearing it! He's still wearing his gun!
I put that on him at the bar before we went back to Vanilla.
You know, I was trying to get Raul to do the same thing. And he's like, no, dude, you can just go home and put gasoline on. It'll come right off the next day. So
yeah,
I pretty
come
much
home and cover yourself in gasoline.
I pretty much tried every remedy to get this thing off. It will not come off. So he made the right
call.
Scotty
was walking all night going, do you want to see my guns? And like flexing and like shoving his bicep into my face and flexing.
I have a bunch of pictures of Scotty and his friend and Raul and then my friends Heather and Kyle, all of us together. And Scotty was the drunkest of us all.
Oh, yeah.
And that was early in the night, too. That was like 11.
So, there... Okay, let me just tell you this.
It started at, like, what, 8:30?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, the whole show happens. Vanilla comes out, Dusty's whole set, fantastic. And then they had told us earlier on, they're like, look, you know, things are getting running a little late, so if you want to do a photo set with Vanilla, it's going to have to be after his set. After he's done. I'm like, that's fine. You know, I'm not going anywhere. I'll hang around. And Sarah ended up, like, my face hurts. I'm drunk. I got to leave. So Sarah just, like, was like, I got to get out of here. So Sarah
was
like...
It too much. It got too overwhelming after a while.
12:30, 1 o'clock or something. You finally took off. And so Scotty and I are still there. And, you know, and Jason Crump from and Aaron from Vanished Twin Photography are there. And the red shirts are there. The whole set finishes. And then I'm like, this is it. You know, we're going to go get our photos taken with Vanilla Ice. And then we'll be done. Whatever. And so then I can't find Scotty. So I'm upstairs in the VIP area. Vanilla's up there. What's it, the Tommy Two-Tone guy's up there.
Why do you keep calling him Vanilla? It's weird.
Well, what am I supposed to call him? Rob?
Rob.
Because if I call him Rob, the casual listener won't know what I'm talking about.
Either say Rob or Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla
Ice.
They
have a whole thing. Because when you call him Vanilla, it just sounds really douchey.
Nilla. Nilla was
Nilla. Yeah, me and Vanilla are
hanging
out
with Nilla.
In the backstage, yo.
Nilla, please. So Vanilla Ice is up there, and the Tommy Two-Tone guy's up there, and his whole... And there's like a huge... entourage. It was like Vanilla Ice has his whole posse with him, and there's, you know, a bunch of women who look like strippers and whatever. So I go upstairs to the VIP area. I grab the guy at the venue, and I'm like, hey, we're going to do our photos with Vanilla Ice. Is thinking about cool? And he's like, yeah, great. Just it's like, get Scotty, and we'll get the photographer, and we'll get it going. So I start calling Scotty's cell phone. Scotty answers the cell phone, and I'm like, Scotty, I'm upstairs in the VIP area. Come up. We're going to get our photos with Vanilla Ice. Come upstairs right now. And to which Scotty says, who is this? And then hangs up. And then you hang up the phone. And from where I am in the VIP area, I can look down and I can see Scotty sitting at a table. I look down and he is sitting with Jason's friend Ashley. And I look down and he's got the phone sitting on the table in front of him. So I start texting him like, hey, Dick, I'm upstairs. We got to get our photos taken with Vanilla Ice. Get up here now. The phone is vibrating and flashing 6 inches in front of him, staring at it, not answering, not picking it up, not responding to my numerous text messages, just sitting there with like a Jack and Coke talking to this Ashley girl. And then Jason Crump and I leaning over the railing, going, Scotty, hey, hello, you got it? And there's like no music playing, nothing. I know you can hear us, I would think. And so he's just oblivious. And so finally, I go downstairs, and I grab him. I'm like, hey, come on now. And I put his AM970 badge on him. We go. We head upstairs. We go upstairs to the VIP section, and we're hanging out. And, of course, Vanilla Ice has got people kind of in line to get their picture taken or whatever. And so we sit down on the couch, and every time a woman walks by, Scotty is sitting on the couch. Every time a woman walks by, Scotty would just put his finger out, like his pointer finger out, and just point at her ass and go, hey. And it's like, and let me just say this.
I am so glad that I made the decision to leave.
Here's the thing. And Jason Crump and I are like, dude, we're like, dude, no. Because we're like, this is...
Well, maybe she
offended
me.
It just seemed like the kind of room in which that kind of behavior was going to get you in trouble. And I mean back alley, beaten down, where my, like, giving somebody a free T-shirt isn't going to help you trouble.
I have a friend who does that every time a girl walks in. If he would or he wouldn't sleep with her, he'll just yell at them as long as I would every time. It's awful.
And like a guy walked by with his girlfriend, and Scotty's like, look at that!
No.
And we're, Jason, like, shh, it's me! You know, we're like, dude, you are going to get curb stomped. Just stop it. And at a certain point, Jason Crump leans over to me. He's like, you want to take Scotty's station badge away from him? Jason's like, you don't want anything he says at this point associated with your radio station. Take his station badge away as soon as you can. So Scotty is just sitting on the couch holding forth about, like, I love Vanilla.
I think Vanilla Ice put on a fantastic program. And it's just like in the loudest voice you could possibly imagine. These women are so fine. And so at a certain point, the venue guy brings Vanilla Ice over. And it's, you know, me and Scotty Vanilla Ice. And so we're like, okay, we're going to put Vanilla Ice in the middle so we can both, you know, we can all get in the photo. And Scotty is like so drunk and trying to maneuver Scotty around in the frame. Because, like, I don't want to be taken all day. The guy's got stuff to do and he's tired from doing his setup. Like, I'm going to get the photo, get out of there. So maneuvering Scotty around is just so unbelievably difficult. And I'm, like, standing there, and I don't want to be overly familiar with the guy. It's not like I know him or anything. But what does Scotty do? Scotty's, like, trying to wrap both arms around him like they're like they're boys, like they're buds.
Hopefully he didn't think I was drunk.
And so Jason Crump is just like, okay, we're doing the photograph now. And Scotty J the whole time is just like, Vanilla, you are so great! You are so wonderful. We do, and we got a break here in a second, and we'll come back with the audio from
the
Scotty
guy probably
J.
hates me now.
No, like he even remembers probably, but I mean, so we do the photograph, and then the most surreal moment happens, straight on out of Wayne's World, where I'm like, hey, you know, Vanilla Ice, great show, thanks, you know, thanks for the great interview, best of continued success, whatever, we got to bail. And he's like, no, sit down, we'll all do Jaeger shots. And Scotty, without like... like a gun, bam, sits back down on the couch. And I'm like, no, we got to go, Scotty. We got that thing to do, you know. Desperately trying to get him out of the VIP room before we all get our asses beaten. We go over to the bar. We ambush Tommy Two-Tone. We get a photo taken with him. Scotty, of course, starts chanting 867-5309.
Oh, God.
We're getting our photo taken with Tommy Two-Tone. Scotty's all, 867-5309.
He probably liked it.
Yeah, I'm sure. So if you look at the photograph of me and Scotty and Vanilla Ice, I look really unhappy. Scotty looks like he's having a great time. Vanilla Ice looks great.
Oh, I was.
I have a big ass scowl on my face because I'm just like a Scotty. I swear to God, if you say one more thing, they're gonna beat our asses. And so then Vanilla Ice like asked us to hang out. It was like a weird moment.
We bonded.
If you would ever ask me, like, would I be having backstage Jaeger shots with Vanilla Ice? It was just so strange. And then we went back downstairs. So when we come back, I will play some Scotty J audio from late in the evening. And later on, we got the AM 970 New News Hour. We'll get Lisa Goddard here in a few. Boba Fett side of the septum piercing story and more of your phone calls. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Sarah is sticking Q-tips up her nose at every commercial break. And I forgot to trim my nose hairs this week, and so my nose itches and I'm constantly scratching at my right nostril. Hello.
We're disgusting.
Yeah. Some of those Vanilla Ice photos will be up on the website today. We have the photo of myself and Scotty with Tommy Heath, alias Tommy Two-Tone, and us with Vanilla Ice. And then, but I got to say this, all seriousness... Jason Crump and Vanished Twin Photography, they took photos all night of the show, and the photos are unbelievable. I mean, the photos are fantastic. Those guys really know what they're doing. All right, so I don't even know where to begin. So I just said that if you look at the photo of myself and Scotty and Vanilla Ice, I look really unhappy. Because Scotty was so drunk, I just kept waiting for you to say the wrong thing and for us to get beaten on by a bunch of guys. And then later, I had to, like, hustle you downstairs as fast as I possibly could. I'm like, oh, this is it. And, you know, Scotty's going to say something. We're all going to get killed. So here's what we got to do. We got Scotty audio. I had a little recording device. And we have Boba Fett wanting to give his side of the piercing story.
Well, no, because I don't want it to be a thing. I mean, if he wants to, that's cool. Let's do it.
So, hello, Chris Boba Fett. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
So, Sarah claims that you offered to pay for her septum piercing and then backed out at the last minute, leaving
that's
her boyfriend holding the bag.
Well, I just think that's kind of funny because I paid for the whole thing.
Oh.
$45, gave the guy a $10 tip. She's laying there on the table. They're getting prepped, and he goes, hey, man, I don't want you paying for it. And I was like, no, I got it. It's cool. I said, no worries. But I said I would do it. I'll pay for it. I said, no, and he was like, no, honestly, here's $40. Isn't that what it was?
This is Raul, the sir's boyfriend?
This is Raul.
Oh, I see. I see what this is. This is a whole lot of, I don't want you paying for my woman.
No.
Yeah, that's what I
figured. No, he loves Chris. No, Chris, because you know, you and Raul get
along
really
I know.
We really like you.
We've talked, and we're cool, and I was just like, no, I don't want to. No, I said, I'd pay for it, no problem. You know, I said, I'd do it. I pulled the money out, I got it. He's like, no, I don't want you doing it. And I said, fine. If it makes you feel better, I'll go half and half with you. And he said, all right. And I said, you sure? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, well, I don't want you to pay for any of it. I said, I'm going to meet you halfway. I don't care.
Yeah, because I'm sorry. One of my drunken friends is watching, and he's just like, I think that Chris had to end up paying. Oh, can you bleep that, please?
I just said
his real name on the air. I think it's a good thing
that nobody listens to our internet stream.
Oh, man. That Raul ended up paying for all of it. And, yeah, it wasn't anything that you had said. It wasn't from him, but it was from somebody else.
All right. Well, anyway,
sure.
So who ended up paying
for
how much?
Thank you for offering anyway.
So did he end up paying for the whole thing?
I put down 45. He gave me 20, and I was like, you know, no biggie, nothing out of, you know, I didn't.
Sarah, you've got men fighting to pay for your piercing.
Yeah, I figured it was him, and no problem. I just figured it was him wanting to, you know, yeah, like you said, Rick, no one's paying for my woman.
Oh, God.
Excellent. Hey, did Scotty try to flex his guns for you?
He didn't try. It was an awful display of pipe cleaners thrown around, but it was just like, yeah, thanks, Scotty. I need to see your tarantula tattoo.
The guns.
Yeah, it was a pretty weak gun show, but it was funny.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right. There you go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. All right, okay. We're just clarifying something we're seeing on the other line. All right, it's 503-733-2970. So there we go. So Sarah got her septum pierced. Mailman Chris got his tongue pierced. Scotty kept flexing his guns. Vanilla Ice did a great show. There were no fights, no brawls. There were a lot. We did meet a lot of listeners we've never met before. We met a lot of listeners that I have never. I mean, because you know, there's usually, you know, a lot of listeners you see at every event. You know, the P1s are there. But we met a lot of listeners that were new people. I think people who had maybe not come out to our earlier event. So that was cool. We've got this. This says, Rick, best thing of the night when Sarah looked up after they put the needle through her nose and growled at everyone standing in there. And by the way.
And growled?
Growled. Apparently, this is after the needle, but before the ring. You growled at everyone in the room, says Kristen Bowie.
I didn't realize I growled. Well, I felt like a freak because I'm getting, and everyone's just staring, and nobody's talking to me, and they're just taking pictures.
Yeah, we've got Sarah, I think we've got your piercing, and I know we've got Mailman Chris getting his tongue pierced on video, and we'll be putting that on the website. We'll be putting Chris's piercing on the website, at least. Apparently, here are some things that Scotty J said during the night. I'm Scotty Effing J. Don't shy away. He seemed very proud of his rhyming skills, apparently. Scotty J referred to somebody as his drink ho.
Oh, that's normal.
How about this? Scotty said to me, Kristen, I've missed you. You're my number one fan. Scotty also said, don't mess with my effing guns, as he attempted and failed to flex in a menacing fashion with his fake tattoo. Yeah, all right.
Oh, the guns were out.
Uh-huh. So he, all right. So
I didn't realize I was growling.
So who wants to hear some Scotty sound?
Not me.
I do.
Would you prefer that we didn't play it?
I don't know. Okay. It's going to sound a lot like that Tasmanian devil, right?
We discussed this before the show.
It's too late now.
Okay, so let me just, how do I put this? I got to put some of this in context. Part of this is my fault because we have a little recording device from Super Digital, the Eterol. It is nobody's fault but my own. I had misunderstood. I had not pressed the button correctly at the beginning. You have to press it twice to record. And so I missed the first half of the interview we did with Scotty. I only got the second half. So the first half we got on a video camera, and it's very, very muddy. It's very hard to understand. But I do have to play it because there's sort of a larger issue. So the first two sound bites we play here are going to be very difficult to understand. I apologize for that. And then they get clearer. So you sort of have to bear with me because the first half here are through a video camera in a room full of ambient sound. This is the first thing Scotty says. Now, what he says here is something like, I ask him how he felt about the show, and you have to listen really hard, but he does say something like, you kicked ass. I love Vanilla Ice. So listen to that here.
So what are your thoughts on the Vanilla Ice show?
It was outrageous. It was awesome. I love the show. It was Ice Ice Baby. I mean, it just kicks my ass. And I love Vanilla Ice.
You hear that part of the Yamadi's all marble?
I love Vanilla Ice.
Fantastic. So there's that. He kicked ass. It was outrageous. And then here is Scotty.
Oh, wow.
Searching for words.
Here's the second really muddy-sounding cut. Again, this is all my fault, these two cuts. I asked Scotty what he thought of the women at Outlaws, and this is Scotty saying that he will be condemned for eternity because of his thoughts about the women at Outlaws.
And thoughts on the beautiful women here at Outlaws tonight?
Good Lord. Good Lord. I mean, being a married man, God's going to condemn me.
God's going to condemn me. God's going to condemn me. And I wish that I had been recording this one more cleanly.
Being a married man, God's going to condemn me.
Fantastic. That's genius. Okay, so those are the really bad ones. So let me just
give some.
No, we got the bad ones.
I have some that are more clean sounding. So then the second half of this was we're outside in the parking lot and not inside the venue. And I actually had the audio recorder working correctly. Let's see here. So got some of these labeled. Let me see if I got these. I got these in the right order here. So this is... Now, here's the thing. What is your take on the Vanilla Ice show?
I loved it, actually. He was very entertaining. It was fun.
Great guy, great show, great time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, now here's the thing. When we first started interviewing Scotty, and you just heard it, everybody's like, I love Vanilla Ice. It was a great show. It's like Dick Clark channeling Shadow Stevens. Now, at some point in the night, though, you really turned, and you just began to openly loathe him. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you remember just suddenly, you turned on him. Like, you transitioned right off of loving Vanilla Ice, and you just started saying how much you detested him.
But that's not true in real life.
Really?
I do like
it. Let's find out. Let's see what the tape says. Because you, right after the show, you could not speak highly enough
right,
of Vanilla Ice.
And that's what I felt.
Okay, but now listen to how it turns. Listen to how then, like, all we do, literally, it's like 9 minutes later in the parking lot. Listen to how suddenly Scotty has turned on Vanilla Ice.
Having seen the legend live in the flesh, what are your thoughts on Vanilla Ice?
It's nice. It's
one too many. Maybe 10
he's
too
much. Oh, my God.
Good stuff.
Yes?
We can't lie anymore. We're sorry to put on a facade for us.
Put on a facade that we like him.
Okay, we have to let this play because it'll be confusing if you're speaking at the same time. The best part of what George says is that we put on a facade.
Yes?
We can't lie anymore. We're sorry to put on a facade for us. That guy sucked. But my real beliefs, that guy sucks.
Now, you seemed very positive on him earlier than when you met him. He seemed like a cool guy.
Yeah. That was all show.
What were your impressions of him as a human being?
He sucks. I'll be a little nice. Bill Ice is a great guy, but he sucks. I mean, flat out. I mean, we're not going to try to pretend that stuff. The guy, flat out, it's just not good entertainment. That's not entertaining at all.
What could he have done to be more entertaining?
Quit. Forever.
Now, do you remember saying any of this?
No.
I'm sorry.
I don't, actually. And I don't really feel that way in real life. Really.
Well,
today.
It's because in the first soundbite, you can't get enough of him.
Right.
But by the time we talk to you later, it's like you are anti-ice in every way.
I think it was just like the alcohol, and I was trying to be funny.
Does the alcohol make you angry sometimes, Scotty?
Maybe, but it just seemed
a little angry juice.
It seemed really funny that you were doing all these recordings on me, and so I was just...
Trust me, it was really funny. All right, let's continue, shall we?
What was your vibe on Vanilla Ice as a person?
Joy. I'm sorry. Rick, I know you're like, well, Scotty J, you should be supportive, but no. You should just go away. Just go away forever.
What are the words you'd use to describe him the way he seemed in person when we met him afterward?
Rick, what you just said right there is... No person on the planet Earth can understand what you just said right there. Repeat it.
What are some words that would describe Vanilla Ice's personality? Having met him, like you did.
Oh, dude, totally persuasive, totally... wants you to believe his ice.
Wants you to believe his ice. Oh, we gotta back up and hear that one again.
Oh, dude, totally persuasive, totally...
wait for
wants
it.
Wants you to believe his ice. And he wants you to slide along with his... Goddamn.
I like you can't... You're so overwhelmed with emotion. Let's... That, I just gotta play the end of that once more.
Persuasive, totally... wants you to believe his ice. And he wants to...
Wait for it.
He wants you to slide along with his... Goddamn.
Genius. Now, do you remember any of that? I mean, you were really big.
He asked you if you took a picture. That was like an
hour. Oh, that's true.
Before.
I remembered you talking to me in the parking lot with
yeah.
the show. And
all right, let's okay, let's do one more here. This is, let's see, this is the final segment of Scotty Audio. Really, I'm so angry at myself, though, for hitting the settings wrong on that Adderall recorder and missing the first half, where we had you list...
Oh, I'm sure it was real good.
Oh, we had you list all the things you could remember drinking. All right. This is, okay, this is the next segment of Scotty J. He wants, the best part is he wants you to believe his ice. Just fantastic.
And he wants you to slide along to his goddamn.
Yeah, all right, so this is the second half.
Why do you want Vanilla Ice to be your brother?
Oh, yeah, Scotty said that he's like, Rob and I are like brothers. I don't have that, but he said that. You're like, Rob and I are like brothers. And then I mentioned it to you later. I'm like, you want to be brothers with Vanilla Ice.
Why do you want Vanilla Ice to be your brother?
Goddamn, well, let's enjoy this guy's joy of everything. Me?
Yeah.
Scotty J, Vanilla Ice, my brother?
The best part is that you refer to yourself in the third person constantly. Me? Scotty J?
God damn it. Well, this joy, this guy is joy of everything. Me?
Yeah.
Scotty J, Vanilla Ice, my brother?
I'm surprised I could even
What'd
talk.
What'd you think of the women, though? At least the women were hot.
Hell yes.
Now, the weird thing is that this is a stereo recorder, and I know it comes out mono for you listening on the radio.
It's just going back and forth.
Yeah, if you're listening on the web stream, you'll hear it in stereo, though, I think. And if you, in my headphones, you can, literally, you can hear him swaying back and forth, because the Adderall is a stereo recorder. It's got a left microphone and a right microphone. And as Scotty's sort of weaving back and forth in front of the recorder, he's going from, like, left to right. All right. So this is the final chunk here, I think. This is where...
Oh. Soon?
Well, it's my fault, though. I totally screwed it. I totally effed up and didn't get the first half of the audio. But this is because the women, they were, because I guess that Smooch Knob band, I guess their deal is to bring schoolgirls with them, right? And that's their deal. That's why the schoolgirls are there. I guess that's their deal. So so they're all of these hot, and just the hot women. And we said before that we have a really good-looking audience, especially compared to most talk stations. So we have a really, really good-looking audience and a lot of beautiful women there. And so we were ruminating on that. This is me saying, what did you like most about the women?
Yeah.
Scotty J, Vanilla Ice, my brother?
What'd you think of the women, though? At least the women were hot.
Hell yes. Hell
yes. What were your thoughts on the women of Outlaws?
The women of Outlaws tonight were un-freaking believable.
Oh,
what was
God.
Hot about them?
No. Okay, now this is the best answer ever.
Okay, I'm going to turn off this guy's mic, though, so he can't this, like, try and talk over it.
This is the best answer ever to, what did you find hot about the women?
Believable.
What was hot about them?
Ass.
Anything else, or just the ass?
Tops.
What kind of women do you like? What do you find attractive in a woman?
Boobs.
What would your message be to the women at Outlaws tonight, if you had one thing to say to them?
Scotty J, I'm with you tonight.
Is there one girl in particular you would send that out to?
No, I think they all have the vibe. They know who I am.
What's the one they know who you are? Did you introduce yourself?
I introduced myself to about, a 30 woman.
Now this is great, though. This is great, though, when he sums up their reactions.
Right. What was the general reaction?
I hate you.
That's damn right, too. Damn straight.
Did you go back and try again?
Nope. Nope.
Did you make a positive impression on any women?
Nope. It's all a number scheme.
There we go. That's it. That's unfortunately, and that's totally my fault. That's all the audio we have. So, sadly.
And that's what it sounds like when you have just one too many.
You are the best new hire of CBS this year.
Yeah.
All the mistakes CBS has made, they've made up for it by hiring this guy.
You cancel out Katie Couric.
I wonder if that guy's going to call and say, you guys are all making light of Scotty J's drinking problem.
I think Scotty J has some sort of an ailment.
It's just
Scotty didn't drink that. Well, yeah, you did. I saw you with that giant cup because you bought me a drink that was very nice of you, and we were just getting, I get a mixed drink, and he got a huge pint glass just full of Crown Royal.
I thought you learned your lesson with the Crown Royal last time.
No,
I did not. Got it, Jay? My brother? All right. Final thoughts of Vanilla Ice. Why did you turn on him so quickly, though? Like, in that first soundbite.
It seemed like somebody pressured you to.
Yeah, you probably did.
I didn't pressure anything.
When you drink half the time, you don't even know what you're saying.
In that first soundbite, you just love him. Yeah, you just love him in that first soundbite because it was a great show.
Yeah,
and then
today
you feel like it was a positive show. But when I ask you that whole thing about, what do you think about it? He sucks. He should quit. He should die in a fire. You know, you're just all angry about him for some reason. So.
Just alcohol.
Do you
How did everything go with Mrs. J when you got home?
I'm sure she wasn't too happy.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember her not being too happy.
Did you at least have a house key this time?
Well, no.
What did you do?
Why do you not carry a key to your own house?
So I don't lose it, but I told her beforehand that, you know, she said it'd be okay.
And it's your sleeve.
And he fell headfirst into the grand piano.
And the clock.
Why? I mean, when have you ever had to get into your house for something?
Normally I carry it, but I, like, if I'm...
Just not when you're going to be coming home at 3 in the morning.
I don't want to lose it, you know?
Of course not, no. So, when you finally got up onto your front porch, you...
Stammered.
Do you have to, like, is it a knock on the door or is it a door?
You knock 3 times like this.
That's 5.
Is that the family knock?
Yeah.
Now everybody knows it.
Four.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it.
And then it's a whole lot of, like...
I'll let me in by my chinny chin chin.
A little drinking this morning, by chance?
No.
Jeez.
So, was it a great Sunday?
No, I didn't feel too good.
Were you there for your kids?
No. I was.
Did you take them to do something fun?
Yes.
In the sun?
We had to do a picnic thing yesterday, and I just kind of sat there and slept in my chair.
I stared at the sun.
You sound like a killer dad.
Fantastic. All right, Scotty J, any final observations?
Yeah, don't drink.
Okay.
We might have seen a couple other people who might have.
That's the other thing. And by the way, here's what we'll do. We will go right from this to the news segment and then make the 20 and kind of merge those for the 20.
What station are we listening to?
By the way, you're listening to Case in the Portland. Yeah, that's the. What else do we have? So, Scotty flexing. Thank you. Do we have anything else to get to? Because I might as well get these calls and then we'll just run the news hour long today. Yeah, I don't even know if we want to talk about that other incident. How do I put this?
It was just so bad.
There's a fine line between wanting to talk about it without using names and being one of those frustrating stories that the audience will be irritated by because we're teasing it.
I know how to work. Can we talk about it?
Sure.
Okay. We saw another radio personality that we're familiar with.
Yes. That we know.
That we know. That knows us. Cool. Knows Rick. Oh, it was just bad.
Who was drunker than, really drunker
oh
than
God.
Scotty.
Drunker
like
than
Scotty,
Scotty.
Scotty drunk.
And this was like at 10 o'clock at night, and it was so awful.
It was really one of the most awkward moments of my life.
I haven't seen that person in a while.
Yeah, you got to help me because I don't know what to say and what not to say. Here.
I haven't seen the person in a while, but I'm just saying, wow.
It was someone. Yeah, someone that we are familiar with, who we know sort of casually.
And who we've spoken about before.
Who we've spoken of, yes, someone we have talked about on this program before. I know this is now turning into one of those stories. Everybody's going to be, who is it? Is it Daria? But it's somebody that we have talked about in this program, somebody who's probably known to X percent of the audience. If you're, if you flip around the dial looking for an alternative to this show. You may or may not know who we're talking about.
Lars?
Yes! Yes, it was Lars!
His hands were all over Rick. He wanted a man love.
But this person was really just drunk as anybody I have ever seen. And I don't
and
know
it was
whether
like,
it was...
And it was awkward, too, because we hadn't seen this person in a long time. And I was like, oh, hey, person, how are you? Long time no see.
I'm
and person,
drunk...
Person just decided to.
I have a creepy serial killer stare.
To bypass me and go straight for Rick.
With no sense of like, there's like a personal space kind of thing. Apparently
but it wasn't
so
even sexy like the way that person was doing it. They were just like,
yeah, it was just sort of let me stand 4 inches away from you and reek of gin. It's a real turn on. Well, we won't identify whoever it is.
Yeah, she probably.
Smooth. Way to go.
They probably don't remember seeing... He doesn't remember seeing us anyway.
Let's take these calls, then we'll begin the news hour, which will run late today, undoubtedly. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, the recordings are great. I was just wondering if listening back to them, if you feel like David Hasselhoff's daughter.
Scotty, promise me you're not going to drink anymore.
I was actually getting kind of sad watching Scotty listening to
them. You're going to get fired from your show, Dad.
No, in my own defense, we discussed this with Scotty before the show. Sarah's my witness to this.
I was.
Sarah's a witness. We discussed this and cleared these recordings with Scotty before we played them. So, Scotty's perfectly aware. He just, I think the evening, though, was summed up perfectly by that when he asked for the show, did I get my picture taken with Vanilla Ice? I mean, when it was like a 15-20 minute process of getting a picture taken because we had to go upstairs and wait and met him, talked for a minute, got the photo taken, talked for a few minutes afterward. I mean, apparently that's just like one long erased over section of the videotape inside his head.
So do you think that person even actually remembers seeing us?
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. There you go. David Hasselhoff. I mean, the other person who was really drunk?
Yeah.
I think that person, he or she, I think that person...
Whoever they may be.
That person might have a vague remembrance that they spoke with me and or you. I don't know. They might not even remember it. I might be... That person, because a lot of other radio personalities listen to this show, just because,
One of that person's coworkers just text messaged me and
said... Really?
Say their name.
Really? Did that person know who we were talking about?
I'm assuming.
I know that we have to insert like 1,000 pronouns now, but so the person we're talking about, the other radio personality who drunkenly came up and was all over us like a cheap suit, one of their coworkers is listening. Did they immediately know who we were talking about?
Yes. He just wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't awkward at all. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Oh, Rick. Ruthless radio, I have to say.
No, it's I mean, really, it's...
What are some words that would describe Vanilla Ice's personality?
You know what,
Having met him.
I don't know if you remember, I've called Bud Spencer. At 6,500 feet elevation in Colorado, mm-hmm. I have never been as drunk as Scotty sounded that night. I try to get that drunk.
Yeah. No.
And I fail.
No, he sets the gold standard, sir.
I believe it. I absolutely believe it. Right. How? Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend. News hour in 21 seconds.
Oh, dude, totally persuasive, totally wants you to believe his ice. He wants you to slide along with his... God damn.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, This is Tim Riley.
I don't know how I can possibly do that.
Really? I mean, I feel like we should have just played that and then put on a best of and gone home.
Exactly.
By the way, just as a side note, A, everybody's now making the David Hasselhoff joke, and B...
can we please make a video with Scotty eating a cheeseburger?
That'll be for the next listener party. That'll be Joni, let's get right on that. And someone else has now guessed the identity of the other radio person. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Kitty Couric is being accused of slapping an editor after he injected a word she detested. The stress has caused her to blow up at her staff for small infractions on the set, charges New York Magazine reporter Joe Hagan. And a story sent for publication today. It's online if you want to read it. It's in New York Magazine. Apparently, she slapped him over and over again in the arm. According to a source familiar with the scene, it seemed like a joke at first, but she wasn't kidding.
Now, this is because, and the weird thing is, apparently Katie Couric, we all talked about how there are words we don't like, but apparently she doesn't like the word sputum.
Yeah.
Which I find the word sputum to be hilarious.
S-P-U-T-I-U-M.
She does not like the word sputum. And so they injected it into some, injected it, they inserted the word into some story about, like, I don't know, vomiting or something, or malaria. There was some story about some ailment, and they're like, blah, 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 started vomiting up sputum, or whatever the hell it is, and she started, like, hitting the guy. Like, the production assistant who wrote the copy, she began hitting him. How dare you put sputum into this? And, like, just went crazy, like, went all Jessica Savage on him. So, I think Katie's beginning to have some kind of a breakdown.
At least it wasn't a story about a dead dog.
Trying to do a long-distance dedication about a dead goddamn dog.
So there's going to be video on this somewhere.
Oh, goddamn. Wouldn't you love to see that?
Wouldn't you love to see
video of Katie Couric going nuts and hitting somebody on her staff? Oh, fantastic.
So she admits to New York Magazine, this whole article's online now, by the way, I sort of slapped him around. I got mad at him and said, you can't do it to me. You have to tell me when you're going to use a word like that. I was aggravated. There's no question about that. But she says she has a good relationship with this fellow.
Yeah, sure.
We did ban the word sputum from all future broadcasts, so it's kind of like a joke, she said. She was slapping him around in a playful manner. Look, it wasn't serious.
Sure. Okay.
So, let's see. This is a 6,000-word expose called Katie Couric's Impossible Year.
Fantastic.
So it's available online.
Let's see. Oh, I'm not even. I'm going to stop reading these.
No, please.
No. We gotta. Because otherwise, here's the thing: if I don't stop reading these, then this is just gonna become the totality of the day's show is just gonna be.
What are some words that would describe Vanilla Ice's personality? Having met him, like you did.
Oh, dude, totally persuasive. Totally. Wants you to believe his ice.
It's genius. It really is. All right, here's Tim Riley, kids.
How am I supposed to beat that?
I don't know. I was like, do I want to play it at the end of the program? Do I want to play it at the beginning of the program? And I just finally, it was just too good to hold off. We couldn't wait, so.
Lesbian lip locking.
Fantastic. All right,
that's the best thing I can follow that up with.
And then I'll read this lesbian New Direction thing.
All right. Dozens of people locked lips downtown yesterday afternoon and show solidarity for those two lesbian teenagers who were kicked out the TriMet bus. Yeah.
When? Where?
This happened yesterday.
Downtown Portland?
Outside the TriMet office on 6th Street.
Why did no one tell me about this?
Well, you were busy. TriMet said the 64-year-old driver faced disciplinary action for removing the two 14-year-olds during a June 8th incident aboard the bus, but didn't release details. This driver is an 11-year veteran. He violated several agency procedures. The girl said the driver called them sickos, and the female passenger complained about their kissing, so then he threw them off the bus.
I can't believe, why did no one alert us to this, that there was going to be some lesbian kiss-in?
So there were puckering protesters, and they said everyone has the right to show their loved ones affection, and they want TriMet employees to receive diversity training. And this happened in front of the TriMet office yesterday.
Where is the TriMet office at? Is it in downtown Portland?
Yeah, it's Pioneer Courthouse Square, I believe.
Where
you buy tickets?
Really, I have to say that I am disappointed in the people. I am sad that no one tipped us off to the fact that there would be dozens of lesbians kissing in front of the TriMet. I mean, really, I hate to sound like a shallow, pandering male, but come on. Mm-hmm. You're not going to tell us about that. Really, that's what text messaging is for. Rick, this is from the spring 2007 issue of Portland PSU. That's what, Portland State University? Rick, from the spring 2000 issue of PSU's magazine. I'm reading this now, I'm quoting, the Portland Lesbian Choir was without a conductor for a full year. Now, Ray Elliott, an openly gay African-American man, is leading the choir with a new direction.
I guess that would be.
At first, the singers were a bit unsure about working with a man, but they all relaxed and played along following his new direction. It must have been hard to have been without a conductor for so long. Blah, blah, blah. So the Portland Lesbian Choir is now following the new direction of Ray Elliott. I have nothing to add to this story. Here's Tim Riley.
Workers at the Umatilla Chemical Depot have put the last of its weapons filled with nerve gas into the furnace. The 155-millimeter artillery shell was incinerated at 7:56 a.m. yesterday. A work began at the depot in September 2004 to burn rockets, bombs, and other items containing more than 1,000 tons of sarin. It's great news for the depot and great news for the community.
I'm sure.
Says the
Breathe
colonel.
Deeply.
German scientists worked on pesticides, discovering the nerve agent in 1938, but it wasn't used till World War II. U.S. officials say it may have been used in the Iran-Iraq War in the 80s and was used in two terrorist attacks in Japan in 94-95. The U.S. is destroying such nerve agents under terms of a treaty. The U.S. Army also has plants in Alabama, Arkansas, Indiana, and Utah.
All the states that we really care about.
Destroying chemical weapons. So now the operation shifts to VX. That's an oily, clear liquid that can be used to cause seizures, paralysis, and suffocation.
I think the VX gas is what they use in, that's what Nicolas Cage uses in The Rock, I believe. This email says, about Scotty. His kids must be so proud. I want Scotty to adopt me. Let's see. What else do we have here? Just listening to Scotty S. I have now peed myself a little bit. I thought you'd like to know. Well, there you go. That's the mark of a quality program, my friend. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, by the way, more than 727,000 pounds of VX are stored in about 62,400 munitions and bunkers in the 20,000-acre depot. After that work is done, attention will turn to 4.7 million pounds of mustard gas.
It's good.
So this is going to be around for generations.
And I especially like the fact
good, honest work.
And that we're announcing to terrorists where all of our nerve weapons are being stored. Mm-hmm. Like, in case you didn't know, we've just broadcast the location of all of our nerve gas.
That's Hermiston, which is also the watermelon capital of America.
Yes.
This is where all the watermelons come from. You're eating this stuff. You watermelon eaters. It comes from Umatilla. And we're worried about the Chinese putting antifreeze in toothpaste.
Hint of sarin. Mm-hmm. It's serendipitous. Alexander, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, I'm a big fan of Dennis Miller in the mornings, but he just came back from a week-long vacation,
mm-hmm.
and he was kind of complaining about how, oh, man, we did 14 weeks straight of radio show.
Yeah, it's real hard.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to kind of call you guys up and let you know how much I appreciate the fact that you guys are in on all the holidays. You have a drunken, you know, whatever that was on Saturday, and come back in, getting needles shoved into your body parts, and everybody kind of comes back on Monday to deliver the show, and boy, you guys deliver every day.
That's what we do, sir. Just like the mailman. You know, the people need entertainment through gloom, through snow, through dead of night, through whatever, despite piercings and drunkenness. Really, seriously, like 4 days out of five, do you think Scotty wouldn't rather be dead than be here? And yet, here he is. So, and Sarah's whole face is covered in, like, pain and agony and suffering, and plus she's got a mucus problem going on today. So, you know.
You guys are dedicated, and your audience loves you.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for listening, my friend.
Have a good day.
There you go. That's Alexander. Okay, we got a break here. Somebody wants to know if you're going to be posting photos of your nose ring. Or are you going to wait until you decide?
No, I'll post some. I haven't taken any, though.
Do you have any photos of yourself from Saturday?
I have a few.
Because you weren't around for the actual photography that we did later.
Yeah, I just
later,
could not. You know, I saw him perform, and I realized that it really, I could live my life without waiting until 2:30 in the morning to meet Vanilla Ice.
We got a break here, but let's quickly give it up for Vanilla Ice, though, performing Ninja Rap.
Oh, man.
It was badass. It was wonderful. It was because, like, you know, he did Ice Ice Baby, like, third of the way in. And then halfway through, he's like, what was the name? Was it Secret? Was it Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 or 3?
It was 2.
Secret of the Ooze. Or whatever. Whatever that one was. Anyway, it was an interesting one. He's like, how many, there's something like, how many are down with the turtles? And then I was like, no, come on.
I love how he's embraced it
now. No, he is totally zen with it. He was totally, because, you know, a more insecure performer, not like I'm holding Vanilla Ice up as the gold standard of performer or something, but I mean, a more insecure man would have put Ice Ice Baby as the end, would have made you wait all the way through everything. all through the new stuff that, you know, maybe people don't care about or haven't heard.
It was the secret of the ooze.
Ice Ice Baby, yeah. But he did Ice Ice Baby like third of the way in, the ninja rap like halfway through, and then if you wanted to stay past that, it was fine. But like he didn't make you, you know, he didn't make you wait all the way to the end to hear the hit single. It was, I mean, it was a cool show. And yeah, and he totally embraced it. He had no, and he didn't do like some metal grunge version of Ice Ice Baby either. It was like the real straight up version that everybody knew. So anyway, good show. Back after this, more of your phone calls. Tim Riley returns after this. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Having seen the legend live in the flesh, what are your thoughts on Vanilla Ice?
It sucks. Rick?
Yes?
We can't lie anymore. We're sorry to put on a facade for us. It sucks. But my real beliefs, I guess, sucks.
Now, you seemed very positive on him earlier than when you met him. He seemed like a cool guy.
Yeah. That was all show.
What were your impressions of him as a human being?
He sucks. Vanilla Ice. Vanilla Ice is a great guy, but he sucks. I mean, flat out. I mean, we're not going to try to pretend that stuff. The guy flat out, it's just not good entertainment. It's not entertaining at all.
What could he have done to be more entertaining?
Quit forever.
What was your vibe on Vanilla Ice as a person?
Go away. I'm sorry. Rick, I know you're like, well, Scotty J, you should be supportive, but no. You should just go away. You should go away forever.
What are the words you'd use to describe him the way he seemed in person when we met him afterward?
Rick, what you just said right there is... No person on the planet Earth can understand what you just said right there. Repeat it.
What are some words that would describe Vanilla Ice's personality? Having met him, like you did.
Oh, dude, totally persuasive, totally wants you to believe his ice, and he wants you to slide along with his... God damn.
Oh, it's going to be a great day. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the AM 970 Noon News Hour. We're here with Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley, Scotty J. Later on, we'll talk to Jim Roop, Steve Kastenbaum, Court and Fatboy. They're going to be stepping in at 2 o'clock hour as well. We'll talk about the Transformers bet, some of these phone calls as well. Why, how are you, Tim Riley?
I've never been better or more entertained in today's program.
It really is just gold.
We can just sit back and do nothing all day. The whole show's taken care of, really. It's like being on vacation.
It's true. Hi, hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, it's White Man.
Justin the White Man. Hello, sir.
Goddamn.
Yes, well done.
I don't know how the hell you maintained when you were interviewing him.
It was not easy. I only wish, and this is a lament you'll hear all day, I only wish the first half of that interview had come through more cleanly. I inadvertently had the settings wrong, and so we missed, like at one point I asked him to list off all the things he'd been drinking. I asked him...
Did he mention water in that list?
No. It's pretty much gold is what that is.
I just want to let you guys know that I had a really crappy weekend, and so hearing this today just completely brought my spirits up. Every time you play it, I lose it.
Lose it.
Well, that's what we do, sir. And, you know, I got to say, no matter how bad your Sunday morning may have been, I'll guarantee you didn't feel as bad as Scotty did waking up.
I would bet on that one.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now. Let's get another one more call here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
How you guys doing?
What's up?
I had a question about septum piercing.
Yeah.
What up?
What are you cleaning it with? Because I know that sucker hurts like a mo, because I've had mine done.
It is. I'm so in pain. I'm cleaning it with saline right now.
Castor oil.
Saline? What works really good when it comes to, like, reducing pain and healing it faster? It sucks. You probably have to go to, like, Winco, but go to, like, the sea salt. Like, get it in bulk. It'll cost you, like, 50 cents.
Okay.
Get a whole bunch of sea salt. You fill up a shot glass with, like, hot water. Not scalding, obviously, but pretty warm. And stir in, like, just maybe put enough to cover the bottom of the shot glass with sea salt. Put in some hot water, stir it up, and soak your nose in that for, like, 5-10 minutes. You're going to feel like a tool. Trust me, I've done it. But I'll tell you what, it's going to feel a lot better.
Okay, yeah, because I am in complete and utter pain. It is killing me.
Now, do you have to clean it so it doesn't get infected? Is that the deal?
Yeah, yeah. They also sell a thing for the future, like if you don't want to have a big ring in it, because I know turning that sucker and that hurt like a mo. But they sell a little stainless steel thing. It looks like a staple. And you slide that in there, and then there's two little pins that stick out of your nose, and you can turn it up so that way it's not even seen.
Yeah, that's
and you can still keep jewelry in it.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to eventually end up doing.
Yeah.
I've had mine done
for about a year or so, and I don't even wear anything in it anymore, and I can still put jewelry in it whenever I want. So try that sea salt. It'll help a lot.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, one of my friends told me that I'm going to have to do that because I can't live like this.
I don't have any piercings. I'm such a pussy. I just can't do it at all. No tattoos. I know I don't fit in. So Sarah got her septum pierced. And the mailman Chris, I want to hear from mailman Chris, who could not even talk because he got his tongue pierced. By the time he left, and it made a popping noise, by the time he left...
Ew.
No, seriously, you have to know. This is... So Chris's like, I'm going to get my tongue pierced. And I'm like, whatever, dude. You know, so he's in there. And the guy's holding his tongue out with, like, pliers.
Well, that's
pliers.
Not a big deal for him because he's covered in tattoos. He has all those...
Might be used to it, I guess. The guy's holding his tongue out with, like, salad tongs. And then they get a big spike and they go like... And they pop it through your tongue and they put a ring in there. Tim is just cringing with every syllable. And then he's like, hah, hah, you know, and he's totally... And he's uncontrollable drool mixed with blood. It was fantastic. I don't think he's going to... I don't think he can even talk probably today. All right. Here's... On a very strange Monday, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, what to do about people in Clackamas County who just don't know how to behave themselves? Police are considering taking away their alcohol. For the second time in less than a week, Drunk and Brawl shut down Carver Park, and now Oregon State Police say they're considering banning alcohol at Clackamas County parks. It's amazing they allow it in the first place, especially a place like that.
I didn't think you could drink in parks in Portland.
Yeah.
So
you can get permits.
Oh, really? Is that, yeah, like, I'm sure that's what everybody in Clackamas does. I'm sure everybody in Clackamas goes through all the red tape.
Post your permit.
Yeah, they...
By your table.
It's rad, actually. You can just nail a permit to a tree, and you can get it for like 8 hours at a time and just get completely schnockered in the park with all your friends, and nobody can do a damn thing about it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, somebody's trying to do something. Deputies arrested 7 people for taking part in starting what is described as a near riot, which is different than the last mini riot. Police report some people even tried to attack the policeman. Alcohol is a significant factor in the fights. It was on July 4th, the similar incident took place during a near riot. Oh, this is the same thing. That shut down Carver Park. So apparently people are going there to drink and whatnot.
Well, this is now, is Clackamas the place where they're getting rid of that discount booze? Or is that in Portland?
Portland.
Remember, because they were in Portland, they were somewhere where they were trying to get rid of the...
I know they did in St. John's.
Really? Is that, so it's like that, you know, like Night Train and Mad Dog and whatever, which I haven't, you know, and I learned long ago that alcohol and I get along badly. So, but I remember drinking Night Train at one point. When I don't even think I was of legal drinking age. I think, and here's where I got it. It was given to me by a record rep.
Imagine that.
A record rep. I think I was...
He had a choice between that or two hoes.
I'll take the Night Train, please. But a record rep from, well, I won't say the label, but a record rep from...
It doesn't matter. Is it,
they're all the same.
It's like multiple choice. Which one is it this week? I'd like a number 20 this week on this song that people aren't really playing anywhere.
Can I get a paper ad of 9? Sure.
I know.
Among the other things he gave me a bottle of Night Train. Because I was in Spokane at the time, and that's how easily you can be bought in Spokane. Will you add this record for a bottle of Night Train? Sure. Boy, goddamn, I have never consumed anything like that. Night Train is like drinking. I've never had antifreeze, and I know that antifreeze supposedly has.
Well, just pick up any Chinese product, you'll find antifreeze. Go to the dollar store, buy anything they're selling there for food, you'll find it.
It was like, I would encourage you just to go smell a bottle of, buy a bottle of.
I encourage you to try antifreeze.
Buy some Night Train, crack the seal, and just give it a good smell. You can get it for like a buck. It smells like a hangover. If you've had a bad hangover, that's what Night Train smells like.
I've never known anyone to have a good night on Night Train.
No, bad. No, Night Train, bad.
Night Train is a train wreck.
It really is. But I guess that's what they're trying to get rid of in downtown Portland or something. So buy it while it's there, kids. All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you?
Yeah, after listening to all that Scotty stuff, it reminded me of Rosie and when she's playing her retarded person.
Oh, yeah. Can I just get back into the toilets, please?
It's kind of how Scotty sounds. I thought maybe you could, you know,
what are some words that would describe and analyze his personality? Having met him, like you did.
Dude, totally persuasive, totally wants you to believe his ice.
I wish I could go back and ask drunk Scotty what that means. All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right, bye.
All right, there you go. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick.
Hey.
Goddamn.
Goddamn.
That's the new one. Hey, yeah. Here's Scotty's new sounder. You told him he can only use. Hey, Scotty. Then after that, I want to hear Scotty's. Goddamn.
Goddamn.
That's it.
Yeah.
The whole sounder.
All right. Excellent.
Scotty J. Goddamn.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye now. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
So I'm driving down the street, which is close to my house yesterday, and there's this huge sign that's stuck out almost in the middle of the road that says, slow. It just says slow construction, I believe it said. I'm thinking, somebody's going to hit that sign one of these days because it's not on sidewalk because there's no
it's
sidewalk.
It's in the road?
It's in the road.
Was it a citizen-made sign?
No,
you know,
it's a regular road sign that says slow construction.
Have you ever seen those neighborhoods where citizens put up their own, like, kids live here, drive slow?
Well, you've seen mine, right? The one that I found in that neighborhood?
I don't think so.
The one that says drive fast, prove you're a moron, and it's misspelled?
Oh, yeah, no, I have seen that.
Drive fast, prove you're a moron, and then moron is misspelled.
No, you're.
Or is it your? Oh, I'm thinking of the, oh, there we go. Yeah, prove your, Y-O-U-R, a moron.
It's brilliant.
Why do you want Vanilla Ice to be your brother?
God damn it. This guy is joy of everything. Me?
Yeah.
Scotty J, Vanilla Ice, my brother?
What'd you think of the women, though? At least the women were hot.
Hell yes. Hell
what
yes.
Were your thoughts on the women of Outlaws?
The women of Outlaws tonight were un-freaking believable.
What was hot about them?
Ass.
Anything else or just the ass?
Tops.
What kind of women do you like? What do you find attractive in a woman?
Boobs.
What would your message be to the women at Outlaws tonight, if you had one thing to say to them?
Scotty J, I'm with you tonight.
Is there one girl in particular you would send that out to?
No, I think they all have the vibe. They know who I am.
What's the one they know who you are? Did you introduce yourself?
I introduced myself to about, a 30 woman. Tonight.
What was the general reaction?
I hate you.
Did you go back and try again?
Nope.
Did you make a positive impression on any women?
Nope. It's all a numbers game.
Yes, it is. Genius. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. The best part is there when he observes it. They know who I am. Yes, they do, my friend. Scotty J, live at the Vanilla Ice Show on Saturday. 503-733-2970. You know that little Adderall sound recorder from Super Digital is the best investment we ever made at the station? Apart from Scotty himself. It's 503-733-2970. We'll resume the news hour here in just a moment. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from New York City, CNN Radio correspondent, man about town, Steve Kastenbaum. Why, hello, sir. How are you today?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Oh, we're having a fantastic Monday. How's life? How are things in the big city?
Oh, it's one of those city. It's one of those days that we've talked about in the past, where you got all that heat and the humidity locked in by all those tall buildings.
Yeah.
That just make it wonderful to be here.
So you're pretty much wishing you were dead most of the day. It's not like I spent a lot of time in New York, but I was there in the summertime once, and boy, it just. You really feel the lack of foliage in that city sometimes when it gets hot. It's like you're walking around on a griddle the whole time.
Oh, yeah, you can definitely scramble some eggs on the sidewalk today.
Hey, so the Drudge Report has this thing that they run about every 5 days. He runs some groundbreaking story about Britain is covered in cameras, one camera for every 14 British citizens. And we sort of laugh about how frequently he runs that story. But now they're doing something like that in Manhattan, right? They're putting some web of cameras or something up there to sort of track everybody?
They're starting to do this. They're hoping to have about 100 police cameras installed in Lower Manhattan in the financial district by the end of the year. And by 2010, they hope to have a network of 3,000 cameras around the city below Canal Street, which is Lower Manhattan. It's the whole southern tip of Manhattan. And a lot of these cameras actually are going to be cameras that are already in place on office towers, privately owned and operated surveillance cameras. So there's a lot of this stuff already in place down there. They're just going to try to network them all together.
And so this is, and obviously this is a post 9/11 thing, but I mean, is this going to go, are these going to go to the cops? Are these going to go to, I mean, who's, I mean, somebody would be watching all these the whole time, or is it just a thing they consult in case that something happens?
According to the commissioner's office, the police commissioner, it's going to be a combination of police department officials and private security watching these cameras. And they're using it, as a way possibly to head off something from happening. There are so many police down in Lower Manhattan around the Wall Street area on any given day that it is theoretically possible, for a cop to get somewhere within a matter of seconds. But obviously they want to use this for investigative purposes as well. God forbid, in the aftermath of some sort of, terrorist attack, right, which is what they used them for in London. They played a big role in the investigation after the bombing of the London Underground.
And I know it's real easy, just moving on to something else here, but I know it's easy to make fun of the whole concept of Miss New Jersey, first of all, Amy Palumbo, if that doesn't sound like the name for Miss New Jersey, I don't really know what does. So there's these photographs of her, and they're claiming that they're not sexual, but yet they are, quote, blackmail photographs. And so, first of all, who really cares this much about the crown of Miss New Jersey that they would even take the time and effort to blackmail her? And secondly, if it's not her getting it on with somebody or nude or whatever, what would they even be?
And that's the big question. Nobody seems to know. I mean, her family says it's not pictures of her drinking while underage, which is what somebody leaked to the press. But the family says, no, that's not the case. The family says, no, it's not her, naked or doing anything sexual. So what could they be? That's the big question. And the fact that the only demand was that she relinquish her title, otherwise these pictures will be released, had folks wondering whether or not it was one of the runner-ups or something like that that had something to do with this. But so far, they're on the circuit, saying, nope, it's nothing sexual and it's not pictures of her drinking underage. What in the world could they be that they're so embarrassing?
Well, seriously, the bar seems to have been set by that Miss Universe or Miss Galaxy or whatever the hell that Donald Trump woman was, where it was like,
right.
Half-nude and getting it on with a bunch of other women or whatever. I mean, really, it's just like, what at this point, what could possibly even be shocking enough that we would care?
Yeah, you got to wonder, especially given the fact that the Miss America pageant has, had terrible ratings over the last couple of years and couldn't even find a home for a while, so... The big question is, does anybody even really care right now?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I want to thank you for hooking Scotty up with pointing him in the direction of one Joey Chestnut. We're going to do our best to see if we can get him on the show for a little interview. So thanks for that help, my friend.
My pleasure. Can you believe he's going to do another, eating contest, so soon? I think within a couple of days.
I was actually going to ask that, if those guys have to have a few days to let their guts get back to normal after shoving, 100 hot dogs down.
I can't believe it. It's 2 weeks after or a week and a half after, and he's going to be in another food-eating competition.
I wonder if that has long-term the destructive impacts on, your bowels or something. I mean, I don't mean to be gross, but I mean, seriously. I mean, if,
well,
you know...
Yeah, it's, all, those nitrates and salt in the hot dogs can't be good for you.
Yeah, cannot, my friend. All right, sir, enjoy the rest of your New York afternoon. We will talk to you very soon, brother.
Thank you very much.
Steve Kastenbaum, ladies and gentlemen. I dig that guy. He's quickly become a part of the Rick Emerson family. All right. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, anyway. Oh.
It's just a little mini introduction.
Sure.
It's a restating. It's a resetting of the stage.
Right, here we are again. We're still on local news.
Really?
All it takes is one hot weekend to bring people out of the woodwork. Well, here we go. A man has been shot, his truck stolen on a fishing trip. This happened to some fella in the coup. He thought it was going to be a day of relaxation and fishing.
He was wrong.
Trace Phyllis was on a fishing trip in the section of the Wind River between Carlson National Fish Hatchery and Paradise Campground. It was no paradise to him. Somebody took his truck, shot at him, and left him stranded in the woods. As he was changing fishing holes, he heard a horn honk. Why, it sounded like my own truck horn.
He climbed up the
bank and found somebody trying to break into his 2002 GMC. Of course he froze. Adding, he handed over the keys and turned around as he was walking away. He didn't know if he shot him or hit somebody else, but he heard a couple of shots. He looked down and saw blood coming out of his arm. So then the thief drives off. And some poor fellow bolts out of the woods and hid there for 2 hours before flagging down a passing car for help. The bullet went through his lower arm, and he suffered more pain in his head, jaws, and knees after falling when he tried to run away.
Jesus. So, bad weekend.
Yeah.
This reminds me of all kinds of things. So, A, I love the idea of a guy stealing his truck and waving at him and honking, "Hey, look at me! I'm stealing your truck!" Also, the idea that he was shot and didn't realize it till he looked down. I don't mean to sound morbid, but I've often thought about what it would feel like to be shot. I remember being really young, maybe 4 or 5 years old, and I think it was after watching some war movie on television, some World War II movie, and I had this really, I'll remember it to the day I die. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, I had this really vivid dream in which I was shot, which is kind of a weird effed up thing to have when you're like four, but I was like 4 years old, and I had this terrible dream where I was shot, and I remember in the dream, it didn't hurt, it was just sort of this weird sort of tingling sensation, and my arm or, you know, wherever it was that shot me, just like a weird sort of like a glowing sensation. It didn't really hurt. But ever since then, I've been oddly fascinated by people who get shot and whether it hurts. Because it seems like it would hurt, but then maybe you hear so many stories, people are like, I look down and I have been shot in the leg. And it's like they didn't realize it.
I think it always eventually hurts. I think it's just the shock that...
Not unlike having a big spike run through your septum.
I was bragging on Saturday. It didn't hurt at all.
So there's that. He was at Paradise Camp.
Yeah.
I'm just going to share this little tidbit. Doesn't have anything to do with anything. My wife went camping the other day. Swear to God, camping at an Indian burial ground. And she told me, she's like, I'm going camping at Lake Blackada Blackada. And I'm like, well, what's that? She's like, apparently it's an old Indian burial ground. And I thought she was screwing with me. It was true. I'm glad that nothing happened to her, but I really was sort of perversely hoping that something awful would happen, just so I could say that something happened to my wife and she was camping on an Indian burial ground. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Let's see. So that does it for that one. Let's see what else we have here. A man has drowned near Sweet Home. Lynn County police have decided a man drowned over the weekend at Green Peter Reservoir. Green Peter Reservoir. East of Sweet Home. All right, well, we're all adults here. So Gregory Aaron Culbert jumped off the Rocky Top Bridge. This sounds like a country song. Gregory Ann Culbert jumped off the Rocky Top Bridge Saturday and resurfaced briefly.
Hello.
And then he did not resurface again.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
I don't mean to either, but it is a real story. First of all, you committed suicide by jumping into the Green Peter Reservoir. How low can you go? Jump off and kill yourself in a place that matters. Has anyone heard of the Green Peter Reservoir before this story, ever?
This is its brief moment of
go
fame.
Go jump off the Hollywood sign.
This is its sliver of
take
infamy.
Take a bus and go south.
Is the Hollywood sign high enough to kill yourself from?
Oh, I'd imagine so. Yeah, somebody killed himself before.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think so.
I always figured I would just throw myself into Mount St. Helens. That seems like a dramatic way to go.
I don't think you can throw yourself inside of it.
Really? Can you not get up to the crater now? But there's a crater. Sure. There's a big hole at the top of it, isn't there?
I'm not sure you can get up there. Has anyone gone to the crater and reconsidered?
So let us know, please. Killed himself on the Rocky Top Bridge at Green Peter Reservoir. Not even a river. It's a reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a little piercing advice. Hi, it's our good friend Diana. Hello.
Hello. I'm sorry I caused so much trouble.
Or at least exacerbated such troubles.
That's okay. Let me just make it a brief observation, though. Until this last weekend with Scotty, I was going to say that you were the drunkest I had ever seen anybody. That time that you were, you did the floor diving at Aaron's place.
Well, yeah.
And then you were just sleeping in the bathroom for like an hour.
Well, not much sleeping, really, but yeah, we'll call it sleeping.
You were like drunker than I have ever seen anybody in my life, except now the title has been passed to Scotty J this past weekend at Vanilla Ice.
Well, it's really bad because I can understand some of what he's saying in that tape, you know.
Oh, it's...
He's saying that Vanilla Ice is very persuasive and an enthusiastic performer.
Oh, it's gold. It's fantastic. What's up?
Let's see. Oh, for the piercing, yeah. Some of the best stuff. You can't really carry around a jug of water and salt with you all the time, but they have this product called H2 Ocean.
Oh, yeah, I've had that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it works really well for piercing.
Like, ooh, all right, where can I get some of that?
It's like a saline spray, yeah.
They have it at Straight to the Point. It's down on 3rd and Stark.
I could swing by there on
my
way home.
Yeah, I've seen that stuff.
Yeah, I've got to do something. I'm in pain. It's not stopping.
It really helps, and it works quite well. My first piercing, I didn't do that, and after that, I'm swearing by it.
Excellent. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Diana.
Get right on.
And... the Death Dance Fever Revolution seemed to get Janet's mind off of some of it.
Really? This is my conscience is clear about that. My wife told me it was okay to discuss it on the air. I cannot be held responsible if she didn't tell her friend that it was going to happen. So.
Oh, that was fascinating. But if a woman comes at you with a spike for your head or your heart, you'll know who it is.
You know what? I don't think she likes me anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I think most of my wife's friends don't like me to begin with, so whatever. I'm pretty much at a baseline with her friends anyway. All right. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you so much.
All right, her friends sort of tolerate me at best. But, you know, what are you going to do? All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, 6 people were injured in serious weekend crashes at the Washougal Motocross. This happened yesterday afternoon. During a race on the park's main track, eager spectators watch as 3 dirt bikers collided at full speed while racing on a hillside. Wouldn't you think that was going to happen anyway? According to the ambulance service, all the victims are over 40 years old. They're too old for this type of thing. One woman's chest injuries were so serious... One of these drivers was a woman over 40?
Okay. Where was this at, in Washougal?
Yeah, Washougal.
How reinforced do you suppose that bike seat had to be?
Well, she's riding on a hillside.
It's hard to believe that this would go awry.
Now, the other bikers, who are both men, have head injuries, leg injuries, and broken bones. 3 other people were badly injured in Saturday crashes, so they started out with a bad weekend. There were a number of other injuries at the Washougal Motocross Park in recent weeks.
It's a whole barrel of fun.
They have not been returning phone calls.
Hello? Turning, huh? Maybe this is a Mount St. Helens answer. Hi, are you able to go up to the top of Mount St. Helens? Do you know?
Yes, I was.
How was it? Did you hike? Can you get all the way up to the crater?
Sure, I bypassed it by 45 minutes. I made it to the top of the Mount St. Helens. We went up the backside.
And so this is now, but I mean, can you get right, in other words, can you get right up to where the big hole in the top is?
Yes, you can. If you follow the signs, which I did not, actually 4 of us went up and we took a day-long hike. And yeah, we end up, we're like shit after we're about 400 miles or, well, you can think that because it was such a long hike. You go, wait a minute, I think we passed the crater, so. But we end up climbing to the top of the mountain and look down on the crater. So it was pretty cool.
All right, so I mean, really, not that we're advising this, but I'm saying if someone wanted to go out in a glorious fashion, it is readily accessible.
Yeah, well, yes, absolutely.
Excellent. All right, excellent. Thank you.
Hey, have a good day.
You,
bye-bye.
You as well. Thank you for listening. All right, there you go. Well, so there you go, adventure seekers. Actually, my wife's trying to get me to climb Mount St. Helens with her at some point, which is good. Which, it sounds crazy.
No, I mean, I can see Laura doing it. I can't see you.
I can't see me doing it either, but I kind of agreed to do it because, A, I live in the Northwest, so, I mean, it seems like a thing I should do at some point. And, B, I thought it was like a multiple-day thing. I thought it was like you had to camp there and, like, it was like John Krakauer scaling Everest. I thought you had to go for, like, but apparently you can climb to the top in, like, 3.5 hours or something. So it doesn't sound like it's going to be all that fun, but, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? So I think I'll probably get sucked into doing that at some point. So I'll report back about whether it's death worthy. Hey, speaking of awkward stories, have you seen the story it's in the Oregonian, but it's from the Associated Press, where they talk about that guy, you know, the mayor in L.A. who had the affair with the newscaster, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. Have you seen this awkward phrase? I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't mean to seem oversensitive. I don't care how people talk. But this is just one of those phrases, and this is pointed out to me by several people, a phrase that leapt off the page as one of those things that I don't really know whether this is one of those things that's socially acceptable to say now. Again, I don't care, but they're, you know, the more PC types among us. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa says this story. Check out the name of this writer. The guy who wrote the story? Michael Blood. B-L- if your last name was Blood, why wouldn't you change that? I mean, unless you're like a wrestler or some sort of snake handler. Michael R. Blood, writer for the Associated Press. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa likes to say, dream with me, but it's hard to hear those words these days without a collector's snicker. The telegenic mayor, known for his chiclet smile and boyish energy. Now, realize, I don't care if they use that phrase or not, but it does sort of seem a little odd. That's kind of a little off-putting phrase-wise. I don't really know if that's a thing you're supposed to say. Known for his chiclet smile. Anywho. Speaking of awkward and so forth, let me see, do I have the Pearl Cream commercial? Yeah, we'll play that later on. Let's do, it's 1:25. Where does the time
go? Start it all to heck.
Yeah, serious. Well, I mean, life does go fast when you're, you know, life goes fast when you're playing the sound of Scotty J. Oh, is my computer up over there?
Yeah! Squad!
Disregard that. You don't have to come in. All right. Just hitting the play button. It was just off, and then it... all right, so we should take a break here. We'll come back. We'll do another news segment, and then we'll do some other things. I know you gotta be preparing things and so forth in the future at some point.
I have tons of things that need no preparation.
Okay, so we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll roll some more news later on. Jim Roop, Court and Fat Boy, more from Scotty J, and Ancient Chinese Secret, Part 2. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. This one's going out to Scotty J. Here's Andrew W.K. on the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Great. That's wonderful. I wish these other ones were... this one where he says he's going to be condemned to hell for all eternity. That's my fault. I blame myself for not recording that one more adequately. Well, what can you do? Jesus, it's 1:45 already. I can't even believe how this day... Is there anything we've left out so far? Oh, Alan Gabrowski was upstairs.
I think we should have him come in. I'm just saying, he was there for the entire show, too.
Should we have him come in, or should I just relay what he said to us? And Sarah's my witness that he put it this way. Sarah? What do you think I should do? We were just talking to Alan Gabrowski, one of our fine account executives.
I was just pointing out that I saw him in a certain area of
the strip club.
Of the venue.
In the strip club.
The entire night.
The strip club. That's not even what I was weighing. Of course, I mean, what's the shame? I was in the strip club. Tommy Two Tone was in the strip club.
Scotty J was in the strip
club. Well, because there's a bar up there.
There sure is, Rick.
That's and a pole. A bar and a pole. Get it?
And
no, but there was an ass. I was talking about Alan's description of the stripper that he was watching, but...
Not about the fact that Scotty J wouldn't buy me a drink unless we were in the strip club.
Was that you? That he wouldn't? Scotty wouldn't buy you a drink?
Scotty's like, I'll buy you a drink, Sarah, but I'll only buy it for you in the strip club. So I had to bring all my friends upstairs. Everyone's like, why are we up here? I'm like, I don't know. Scotty J wants me here.
Classy. Oh, wonderful. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So we have more details about that drinking orgy that went out at Clackamas Park.
An orgy at Clackamas Park.
Deputies arrested 7 people, and they were fist fighting and whacking each other over the head with paddles as women and children ran for their lives. They were between 18 and 25, so that's a younger demographic.
Clackamas is huge in the 18 to 25 brawl demographic. So,
uniformed patrol officers were able to squash the violence and the disruptive crowd. So, oh, by the way, the troop levels in Iraq have increased the cost of war in Iraq and Iran. It now costs us only $12 billion a month to keep this going. That's not bad.
You can't... all right.
$12 billion a month. Congress has.
I thought you were misreading that.
No, that's $12 billion a month.
Billion. A month?
Billion, yeah.
What?
And we have spent $610 billion since 9/11.
It costs us $12 billion a month?
Yeah, billion. Mm-hmm.
I don't even
have to. Those Halliburton people.
I have no response to that. I am agog, is this.
Why can't we let this play out?
You know, we could have just built an entire replica of Iraq for that money and, like, switched it
Montana?
In the middle of the night when they weren't. We could have taken one of our own states that we're not doing anything like Wyoming.
It's beautiful.
We could have built a brand new Iraq and then, like, while everybody was asleep at night, gone in and switched it, like, Folger's Crystal style. Mm-hmm. And we would be so far ahead of the game by now. Mm-hmm. Jesus. All right. I'm not going to think about it. It makes my head hurt.
Let's see here. Oh, police aren't going to charge the man who shot the burglar in the head. Remember that 71-year-old man woke up early in the morning on Northeast Gleason? Somebody's trying to break in, take out his trusty shooting iron, and ba-boom, right between the eyes.
Well done. This email, by the way, says, Rick, this is, again, the Sarah telling you the H2 ocean. Sea water with lysine, which helps to speed healing and, of course, keeps the dinosaurs of Jurassic Park under control.
Okay, I'm going to get that immediately.
Here's Tim Riley.
It would be a dream come true if this happened. A 90-room Holiday Inn Express is envisioned for Vancouver. This will be a 4-story hotel. Some developer in Aberdeen, South Dakota wants to come in. Some carpetbagger from South Dakota wants to come into the coup.
Nothing good comes from Aberdeen.
Lavish Holiday Inn Express. But Clark County has a shortage of hotel and motel rooms. They only have 2,500, and that's not enough for all the tourists.
No, of course. That's
there each and every day.
Come there to partake in their fine selection of fortified wine.
For all of you being chased out of the Clackamas Park, there's always the Holiday Inn Express.
You know, it really says it all, by the way, that Vancouver has that 98666 area code. Mm-hmm. That really tells you. And I bet they're all excited. It's like when the Silver Cloud Inn came to Kennewick. Mm-hmm. Everybody was all like, "This is." Let me ask you this.
We all stayed at the Silver Cloud Inn in Renton once.
That's
never
true.
Never forget that.
I remember that.
I look forward to using the hot tub when I got there. We arrived at like 2 minutes after 10. Hot tub closed at 10.
When they sent Tim and I, when Idiot Intercom sent Tim and I up to up to Seattle, I mean,
to sit in front of the stadium where nobody ever heard of
us. I don't know if we've told this story, but the idiocy of this move, I know it sounds like I'm frequently picking on Intercom, but there's some folks there that we like, and we have some friends there. But really, let me just say, in a broad, generalized sense, you want to talk about...
Watching Renton Public Access at 10:30 after a four-hour drive.
Just a company that, programming-wise, it just seems like could not find their own map, their own hand, as they say, with their own hand with, you know, with the... What is that? What do they say? Now I'm complete. It's my karma. I can't even get it right. But they just couldn't find anything. Couldn't find a couch in the living room. And so their whole idea of all, and they were across the hall from a sports station. A sports station where there's like 15 sportscasters. I don't know. Who should we send up to broadcast in front of Safeco Field for a Mariners game? You, Tim Riley, and you, Rick Emerson. And I think for up until the moment that they put us in the Lincoln Navigator and sent us to Seattle, I think Tim and I thought they were joking or it was a mistake. Like, up until the morning, they're like, get in the Navigator, drive to Seattle, do your show from there for no reason. I swear to God, I think we thought that they were good. They were kidding. And yeah, we arrive in not even Seattle, Renton. Welcome to lovely Renton, gateway to SeaTac. And then we're staying at a Silver Cloud Inn. And again, we get there just as everything's closed, you know. And of course, we had to be there at like 9 a.m. or something. So there was like no chance to do anything. No chance to take in any of the Renton sites. God, it was the worst thing ever. Oh, my God. Let's see. What are we, I was going to make some observation about something or other. I don't know. Oh, is this Clyde? Okay, well, let's do one more, and then we'll get Clyde here.
Well, camera stepped Entourage star Adrian Grenier at the beach yesterday. He got all wet with a couple of bitches in the surf, then frolicked along the shore. A precocious kid and well-bodied blonde was with him. Let's see. It's clear that he's no Mark Wahlberg. The muscle former Funky Buncher on whom Adrian's Entourage character Vincent Chase is loosely based. I don't know what that meant.
It was like you were speaking a foreign language there for a while.
Frolicking with bitches.
Me, Scotty J, with the eyes of brother. The best part, I think the single best moment. At the end of the show, we should vote on the single best moment in all of these Scotty J recordings. The best part for me, and then we'll get Clyde here. The best part is when And when Scotty's talking about how Vanilla Ice sucks, and he's like, and he lowers his voice when he refers to himself in the third, Rick, I know you want to be like Scotty J. Let me just play it real quickly, and then we'll get to this. This is my favorite moment, I think, when he lowers his
having seen the...
That sucks.
Now...
That guy sucks. But my real beliefs, that guy sucks.
Now, you seemed very positive on him earlier than when you met him. He seemed like a cool guy.
Yeah. That was all show.
What were your impressions of him as a human being?
He sucks. Vanilla Ice is a great guy, but he sucks. And I flat out. I mean, we're not gonna try to pretend stuff. Okay,
stuff
flat out.
I'm not gonna pretend stuff.
Not
things.
Good entertainment. That's not entertaining. At all.
that sounds like it hurts. Like some sort of expulsion.
It sounds like Dick Clark
what
a month after a stroke.
What could be more entertaining?
Quit. Forever.
It's one long balloon leaking.
As a person?
Go away.
It's coming up here.
I'm sorry.
Right here.
Rick, I know you're like, well, Scotty J, you should be supportive, but no.
It's like he lowers his voice and becomes all sultry there for a second. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Host of the Ground Zero Lounge, Mondays at Dante's, and from groundzeromedia.org, our good friend Clyde Lewis. Hello, sir.
I got to be quick because the president of the company is here. Anyway, let me just tell you, I'm going to be at Dante's tonight. I'm going to do a full-scale thing on the Roswell crash, and it's going to be a story that you've never heard before. And it's going to be an amazing presentation. We use all kinds of sight, all kinds of visuals, all kinds of cool stuff. So you need to come out and be there. It's going to be at 8 o'clock. It's going to be huge. You there?
No, they're tapping your phone.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm sorry. This sounds like that commercial you used to do.
You have to speak a little louder, please.
Yes,
sir. Yeah, anyway, so that's what's going on. It's going to be remarkable. And it's something you've never heard before. It's an amazing story, and I'm going to be telling it with visuals and all kinds of cool things. It's all. If you want more information, geekinthecity.com. Go there and read it up. It's going to be awesome.
All right, thank you, Clyde.
No problem. Bye-bye.
I love him.
Clyde, can we see you in the office, please?
Do you know anything about this website? It'll just be like an alien face and a huge swastika.
Just go away.
All right. It's 503-733-2970.
What was that?
Is this more Scotty? I don't even know what we're doing at this point. This is the strangest day. I'm scratching my nose. Sarah's shoving Q-tips into her face. We have...
He's going forever.
Scotty J just sprinkled throughout the show. I am, in fact, while we're talking about it, and we'll do, we got other stuff coming up.
Scotty J. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kicked you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
That is the best sounder ever. Who made that?
Some guy. I forget his name.
Come on. I love that. Let me kiss you on the mouth.
Yeah, that should be... I might remix this, though, and make that part a little louder. Where Philip Seymour Hoffman's like, can I kiss you on the mouth, jerk? Wait, let me just...
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Hi, Scotty.
Good afternoon, Hebo. Thanks for joining us, Hebo fan.
Do you just sit in your room and Google cities in Oregon?
Just list of every city you can find.
Yeah, that's all I do.
How you feeling?
I feel great.
I think
you've exhausted your Scotty drunk speeches.
Oh no.
Don't make me put it to a vote.
Maybe we should do an Insta poll to see if people are tired.
Yeah, they might
of
be tired of it.
Okay, let's find out right now. We'll ask you something else because we got to let the delay build up here. So get past the delay. Please now to be calling 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. The question is, are you tired of hearing the Scotty J sound bites?
Can I find a song to play in the background?
Please, if you can, are you tired of hearing...
Why do you want Vanilla Ice to be your brother?
God damn, well, this gayest joy ever. Everything.
Is it, what are you even, are you saying the Scottiest joy ever?
No,
why do you want Vanilla Ice to be your brother?
God damn, well, this joy
this gayest joy ever seen.
What are you even saying there?
Told you, it sounds like the Tasmanian devil.
The question are you tired of hearing the Scotty J. soundbites from outside the Vanilla Ice Show? It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Yes, Scotty?
But my real thoughts are...
Every time you talk now, I expect it to sound like that.
And my real thoughts are, I like the guy, so I don't know why I went on the
Why were you trashing him?
I have no idea. It was funny. He had a microphone in my face.
God damn it. All this joy. This gay joy.
I think I was trying to say I enjoyed it. He's the greatest guy ever, but it kind of all splurred into one word.
It all what?
Splurred. Slurred, whatever, into one word.
Wait, is this the drunk Scotty J? Or
I was going to say, right?
I don't know. When,
splurred isn't a word.
I make up words.
Yes?
Okay.
You really do.
This gayest joy ever.
Greatest joy ever. It's all one word.
Greatest joy ever. No vowels in there. Just. All right. Well, before we continue, Scotty, let's get a little. Hi there. Are you tired of hearing the. Thank you. Are you tired of hearing Scotty J. Sanders?
Am I on?
Yeah. Hello, sir. Yes.
Yes. No, I'm not tired. Hey, I was thinking you should have had him do the Mel Gibson rant while he was really drunk.
Oh, that's a great idea. Scotty may lie to himself, by the way, and say that day won't come. But
yeah, I'm never drinking again.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And you're quitting smoking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, laugh if you will.
Oh, wait. He has the patch on.
But see, I didn't want to say anything because, you know, I got to make sure.
When's the last time you had a cigarette?
I had two yesterday.
When did you put the patch on?
This morning.
Had you had the patch on earlier in the weekend?
No. Nope. I just had like two smokes yesterday. And
so you had two cigarettes yesterday
to get healthy.
And you put the patch on this morning?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to try to go for it.
All right, hold on. Well, we'll fix your little red wagon here in a minute. Let's get continued. Hi, Rick Emerson. Hello.
This is not gold. This is not platinum. This is beryllium. I'd laugh so hard I vomited half my lunch up. So keep going.
Thank you.
He made that word up.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, never stop. Ever, 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 ever stop.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, asking people if they're tired of the Scotty J. sound effects. Hello, sir or madam, as the case may be.
Hello, Rick.
Yeah.
I'll take that as a no, we are not.
Not only am I not tired of it, pleased to be posting it on your website.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a thought.
That's
now.
A horrible
Get it, like,
idea.
Have the kids
and
sample
the video,
it,
too.
Sample it into one of them rap songs. All right.
There you go.
Fantastic.
There
thank
has
you.
To be video, then.
Yeah, you had video, right?
There is video. thank you, sir.
Oh, come on.
Well, hold on. Here's the thing.
Put it on.
You know, here's the thing. Thank you, sir. I'll explain this. So here's the deal. There are two interview segments with Scotty J.
One was sober.
No.
Oh.
Let's start.
That's not even an option.
Guess again. Okay. There were two interview segments. One of them was inside. One of them was out in the parking lot. Now, I had that Eterol recorder for both of them, but it was operator error. I had neglected to... It sounds dumb. Sounds like I was drunk. You got to hit record to arm it, and then you hit play to start recording. It was my fault. I had neglected to hit the, you know, I hadn't hit the actual start recording button. So it was blinking. I thought it was recording. It wasn't. Anyway, long story short, there is video, but no real audio of the first interview. There is audio, but no video of the second interview. So what I could probably have that guy Aaron do, though, who's filming it, is take the audio from the second interview and just sort of mash it up with some of your more dazed facial
like
expressions from the first one. Like an Asian film.
Or like a movie from the Orient where they...
Yes, like that.
Or it could be silent with the piano accompanying it.
Like black and white, all scratchy.
I kind of want it
up, all jerky looking.
I would like it to go away and
have
repair my career as David Hasselhoff did.
Oh, this joy. This gayest joy ever.
He's the greatest joy ever. Did I call him Joey?
Scotty, you've got to, like, embrace it. I think you said he gives you the greatest joy ever.
So, what should we do with this audio? Should we have the listeners?
We should make a contest.
We should burn it.
To have people create an audio something with this or a
like
video
like a mega
something?
Mix. Like maybe a video with the audio.
A mega mix.
So to find the appropriate visuals. Because we've done like the Delana Sounder contest. That was all audio. Should we do like a video mashup contest with this audio?
And then we can post it on like the AM970 website or something.
Yes. That's a great idea. We need to drive traffic.
Scotty, you should never have said yes.
I should have never.
You should have never said yes because I heard you say yes to Rick this morning.
You know, Sarah was here. You gave the okay to play these.
The thing is, I had no idea what I was going to hear.
This gayest joy ever.
He's the greatest joy ever. So I did like him.
Should we take some more calls to see if other people want to hear
it? Let's continue. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, definitely keep Scotty on there.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yep.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy, and I'm effing you tonight.
Thank you. Hi, vision. Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Rick. Hi, Sarah. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
And hi, Scotty.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was getting kind of tired of the same old sound of the ad. The sounder.
I don't know what we're talking about right now.
Well, the sounder for Scotty.
Oh, to come in the room?
Yeah,
we all were.
Yeah, we were. That's. Are you the one who... Did you make the new one?
No, I didn't make it.
All right, well, I forget the guy who did, but I'm going to tweak a little bit at home tonight. We're going to probably use that, yeah.
I don't have the skills.
All right, well,
but,
I'm sad for
you. The Scotty audio, I'm telling you.
No, it's gold.
A few years ago, I was a designated driver.
I think that time has clearly passed.
Yeah, four times Scotty. That would be four people like Scotty, and I will never, ever, ever do that again in my life.
All right.
Worst sensation ever to be around people who are totally intoxicated.
Oh, I wouldn't say it's so
that
terrible.
He's a pretty jovial drunk, though. He's kind of funny to be around.
No, it's true.
And he is responsible. Like, he doesn't
drive home.
He doesn't leave his keys and take a $40 cab ride home.
No. All right.
I'll give him credit for that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right, bye now.
I remember this guy from last week.
Yeah, he just goes on and on and on, and then he sounds heartbroken at the end when we've got to go. So why don't you... But here's the thing. We should just sew a key to your sleeve or something.
That's what we want to do. We want to get a Rick Emerson Show safety pin to pin to your clothes.
I mean, you live in the summer
to his mittens.
Yeah, totally,
I can
exactly.
Bring a diaper with me
along
in
with your gym,
to go to the restroom.
Along with your gym class note.
Oh, wait. If I bring a diaper, I can just keep drinking all night. I won't have to go to the restroom.
Why would you even say that? I mean, you cannot complain about the way you're depicted on the show and then say, if I have a diaper on, okay, somebody, seriously, we're going to put that up there too. If I have a diaper on all night, I don't have to quit drinking. We're going to put that with the audio too. You can't complain about the way that people perceive you and then say things like that on the air. Think about how much drama at home you could get out of if you didn't have to knock on the door at 3 a.m. and have your wife let you in.
It's a good idea. Actually,
did you just go up and sort of slump against
the
door?
Rock.
Did you get up
and put a key under?
Well,
a
seriously,
rock
why
right
haven't you stashed the key around your house somewhere?
I will put one right next to the doormat.
But I mean, someplace where people aren't going to find it, obviously. But why don't you do that?
I'm going to broadcast exactly where I'm going
to
put it.
Don't be an ass. I'm asking a serious question because
I've
you have to wake your wife up at 3 a.m. to let your drunk ass into the house.
Right.
Like I don't. So you just don't bring your.
I don't want to lose them. You know. I could lose my cell phone, I could lose my keys, I could lose my wallet.
You brought your cell phone with you.
Right.
And your wallet.
And it worked.
And yet, but you didn't bring a key.
Right.
So.
Plus it, like, you know.
By that logic, why don't you, why do you bring
your. You have a whole pocket full of things at that point, and I just don't like it. So I'll figure something out, though. I'll work on it.
How does, how do I put this? What is the general, I mean, since this is something she's clearly well-versed in by now, when Mrs. J has to let you in at 3 a.m, is it just sort of she opens the door and then goes back to bed?
Basically, yes.
Okay.
No, she doesn't, not too many words.
She doesn't see how you're, she doesn't stop to see how you're doing, how your night went.
Kind of the same seething look that you gave me at the Vanilla Ice concert.
Well, we are going to post those photos, by the way, where you can see that I am very unhappy. All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, is this a Scotty J request line?
Yes, it is, sir.
Yeah, I want to hear the part where he gets condemned.
All right, let's see here. Now, again, this is...
His soul is mine!
Thank you. I apologize for the audio here. You'll hear Scotty being asked how he feels about the women, and then he says, being a married man, I'm condemned.
And thoughts on the beautiful women here at Outlaws tonight?
Good Lord.
Life. Fantastic. And then, at a stark contrast, and then we'll break here, here's him saying how much he loves Vanilla Ice.
What are your thoughts on the Vanilla Ice show?
It was outrageous. It was awesome. I love the show. It was
says, baby, I mean, you can just fix the math. And love, vanilla.
Having seen the legend live in the flesh, what are your thoughts on Vanilla Ice?
Exactly.
There you go, kids. All right. We can come back after this. God, what do we got? Court and Fat Boy coming up. Bottom of the hour, more from Tim Riley. I edged all of this stuff still to get through. A little bit of Susan Reynolds stuff. All right. Well, I don't know what we'll have time for, what we don't. Oh, Indiana Jones news and these phone calls. Stay there. It's a Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. In just a second, we'll talk to our good friends, Court and Fatboy from Rock 101 KUFO, about that there pesky Transformers bit. We'll get to these phone calls. More of Tim Riley coming up. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, before we do any of that, from Los Angeles, welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent and living deity, Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm dandy. It's a great day to be alive.
Yes, it is.
Are you catch a little bit of that Scotty J audio?
Yeah, I did. That was very strange.
It was a... Yes, maybe without...
Yeah, because Jim could drink like a tank, and he wasn't talking like that.
No, I said, well, yeah, I guess maybe without context, that audio sounds even stranger. Yeah, we had a station event on Saturday, and you've heard of the phrase, like, three sheets to the wind. Scotty was the whole sheet fat. He was 500 thread count sheets to the wind. It's unreal. Let me just, a little bit of the, let's see, where's the,
What are some words that would describe Vanilla Ice's personality? Having met him, like you did.
Oh, dude, totally, persuasive, totally... wants you to believe his ice.
That's the best part. He wants you to believe his ice.
His ice.
Really? I mean, who can put it better than that?
I don't know that I've ever been that bad.
Oh, man. We have a friend of ours. I'm not trying to embarrass her, but we have a friend of ours named Diana who we went to sort of, we had like a film viewing. Everybody was getting together. We were having like a movie night, and she was there. And she, I don't even know what she was drinking. It was some homemade concoction. And she ended up on the bathroom floor for like an hour. And she's, you know, she's like 100 feet tall. She's an Amazon woman. And so she can drink a lot. And she ended up on the bathroom floor and as drunk, I mean, the drunkest I had ever seen anyone in my life. But that crown has now gone to Scotty J. That he now wears that tiara of shame.
He may have some brain damage now.
Yeah, now.
Well, he may have some additional brain damage.
It's genius.
Qualify that.
No, it's fantastic. It really is. It's he has suffered brain damage so that we might chuckle heartily.
Well, there you go. It's for the good of the show.
No, see that's what I'm talking about. You understand how this goes. That's what I'm talking about. This is, you didn't even you understand reflexively the arrangement.
Yes.
Hey, so I swear to God, first of all, I couldn't get through this Harry Potter story here without stopping to make several observations. A, is there a more British name than Rupert Grint?
I doubt it.
Doesn't Rupert Grint sounds like Mr. Rupert Grint sounds like some Dickensian character, like Mr. Murdstone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of those, you know, Mr. Micawber. You know, one of those guys that whose name would have, like, if you were born Rupert Grint in Kansas, they would have to send you to like to Manchester or something because you just wouldn't work for you to not live in Britain with that name. And Emma Watson, there's a completely British. And then the CNN prep sheet says, I'm quoting now. Daniel Radcliffe and Rupert Grint putting their wands in cement, and then Emma Watson's going to be there. But then it identifies that it's happening at Grauman's Chinese Theater. And Tim Riley and I were talking. It hadn't been Grauman's for like 20 years.
Well, it is again.
It is as of when?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. Family bought it back.
Oh, okay. So it's not...
It was Man's Chinese Theater.
I thought it was just because like tourists couldn't find it.
No, the family bought a controlling interest in it.
All right.
And so now it's back to Grauman.
Grauman doesn't sound like a Chinese name.
No, it doesn't, does it? No, it's Jewish.
Really? Such a strange world we live in. Nothing is what it seems, Jim Roop.
Sid Grauman was the guy.
Sid.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's the truth.
No, it's just great. It's
if you go see any of those hands and feet print in cement, it's all to Sid. Thank you for all your help. You know?
That
unless he's the guy that poured the concrete. But I know Sid Grauman is the guy's name who owned the.
That totally that explains a reference that I have seen in Blazing Saddles for years and never knew because in Blazing Saddles at the end when Hedley Lamarr falls and he's putting his hands in the cement and it says to Sid.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered why.
They all say to Sid.
I'm smarter than I was 30 seconds ago, and that's not a thing you can say very often. I just felt like a new fold in my brain with that knowledge.
I'm glad I could help.
Excellent. Hey, and here's another question. Tim, there's only one thing we're really good at, and that's answering, asking questions that we don't know the answer to and that then just sort of haunt us. Here's another one. So they've been, how long have they been putting handprints, footprints, whatever, in front of Grauman's Theater?
Oh, since the 30s.
Okay, I've been to Grauman's Theater. It's not that big. It seems like they should have run out of room like 1,000
years
ago.
Well, not everybody gets it.
No, but
everybody gets one.
But, I mean, they've done a lot of these. So is there like a guy out there like, I don't know, like chiseling up C. Thomas Howell's handprints and putting them in storage somewhere to make room for somebody else?
You'd be surprised at how much space, because some of them are a lot smaller than others.
Uh-huh.
And so you'd be surprised at how much space there is. I mean, you may have 200... in cement, hand and feet print out there, and there's room for hundreds more.
Excellent. Okay. See, this is the thing I've always wondered.
It's pretty deep. When you come off of Hollywood Boulevard, I believe it's Hollywood Boulevard. Yeah, it is. And then there's the Chinese Theater, and you go into where that big, long entrance to the theater is, and all around that is all that concrete work that they've sectioned up,
right?
And they will even take some of those regular, you know, four foot square sections, 2x2, and divide it in half for some of the
So if you're like, Charlie
Thomas Howe, you got a 2 foot square.
If you're Brett Butler, you get like just a corner of somebody else's square. She has to just rent it out.
You know how.
All right. I do indeed. All right. Well, I've made all the Harry Potter jokes I can think of, and blah blah blah.
Well, what's interesting when Laura said to me that KCMD wants to talk to you about Harry Potter. I said, what about him? You know, what's up with Harry Potter?
No, I just...
And I guess there's a new movie.
Yes, there is.
There
well, there's the movie, and then there's... Because there's the movie this Friday, I think, right? This Friday? And then on the 20th, I believe it's the night of the 20th, Friday into Saturday, I will be in line like a colossal tool at one of our local bookstores standing in line to buy the final Harry Potter book. I will be there unashamedly, my friend.
I've not seen any of the movies, and my kids have read the books, but I have not.
No, and I'm not going to be one of those guys in, like, the Sorcerer's Apprentice pointy hat or anything, but I will be there because I am
I understand that my 16-year-old son still likes the, you know, he says they're incredible books.
Here's the thing, here's the biggest compliment I can give to J.K. Rowling. I think there's something cool. In 2007, when people are just getting stupider by the day, I mean, really, you just... At any given moment, like if you're sitting there in public, you look, you know that thing they do with graduation? Turn to your left. Now turn to your right. Only one of you will graduate from college or whatever that thing used to do.
Yeah.
It's not even like the person to your left or the right. I mean, in a room of 50 people, probably 49 of those people are functionally illiterate and ought to be sterilized by force. We all know this to be true. So in 2007, there really is something to be said for the fact that a bunch of children will stand in line at midnight to buy a 700-page novel. I mean, there's something to be said for that. That's
but not only that, but they will read it.
And they'll read it. That's a positive step forward for the smart people in our society. The idiocracy of America can be held off for another day. So, all right, brother, enjoy the rest of your Southern California afternoon. We will talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you very much.
James Roop, ladies and gentlemen. God love him. Now, the highest compliment I can pay J.K. Rowling is that, and this is from the very first time that I read the Sorcerer's Stone, the first one, is that her writing reminds me of Roald Dahl, the guy that wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, James and the Giant Peach. It is scrumdiddlyumptious story writing, as Roald himself would say. All right, without further ado, let me now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from Rock 101 KUFO, our sister station, weeknights 7 to midnight. Let's welcome Court and Fat Boy. Why, hello, and
hello.
How are you?
Well, yeah, you better get used to saying that.
How are things?
Things are great.
Is great the word you'd use?
Yes, I would say they're fantastic.
All right. Now, have I lost? Have I lost the bet?
Yes.
Did I?
You
find in splendorous fashion that I lose?
You have. Well, I mean, domestically, the movie made what?
If we're counting the 6 day, it made $146
million. $146
million.
But the worldwide was $246 million.
If only we were counting the worldwide
gross. Did we ever specify?
Don't be an ass.
Don't be an ass.
That's just happy.
I actually heard you last week say, I know those bastards are going to try and count Canada.
Yeah, so. No, it occurred to me.
You gave him the idea.
Yeah,
you
did.
All right. So now, to be fair, I, you know what? I had sort of resigned myself to the fact that the Americans were going to be hoodwinked to such a degree that it would break 160.
Yeah, well, they got hoodwinked pretty much. I mean, you didn't think it was going to make like 90.
No,
initially.
I mean, look, I mean, you know, whatever yeah. people think of my take on the Transformers, I mean, look, is what am I going to 152 million
yeah.
to sneeze at?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is the biggest 4th of July opening ever.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it was huge.
And is it the biggest 4th of July week opening ever?
I think it was the 5th.
Yeah, I think the way the people at Paramount are trying to spin it, because you got to have some record that's all your own. You can't say we're the 5th best because
right.
it doesn't look real good on
sure.
a, yeah, you know, what is the 5th medal? It's like tin or yeah, something yeah, like right. that. So it's the best opening week ever for a non-sequel.
Okay.
yeah. says, Wait, who says all kinds
like
of
nine asterisks yeah. next to it. Okay.
So Fat Boy, I'm looking on Rick's MySpace page. So you actually already have copped to the fact that you lost.
Oh, I told him when I came in on Thursday. We came in to interview Patton Oswalt, and yeah. I was like, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
And this
There's
is from
no
yesterday
way.
You wrote, I lost.
Yeah, oh, see, yeah. but I didn't want to, you know, I wasn't going to get all counting my chickens and whatnot. Because,
no.
Because those were just estimates.
Yeah.
The thing
and what
that,
I don't want to do is come in and go, I won! You know, and then you have to take it back.
The thing with estimates is the studios themselves do the estimates.
Right.
So they're not going to undercut themselves. By what, 16 million
yeah,
that
right,
I needed?
Right,
so
yeah.
there was no way we were going to make up that ground.
Now, are you surprised that that you lost the bet? Are you surprised that
Not
it,
really. No, especially after it got stretched out to a 6-day thing.
Yeah.
If it had been condensed, if it was the original 5-day bet, we were over by a million.
We were over by
day.
A million. And I'm thinking it's the same amount of people that would have seen it, whether it was 6-day or 5 days. But if right. it was 5 days, it just would have been packed in tighter.
Yeah.
So I feel decent that
your
I got
soul
close.
Is dying inside, isn't it?
it was a transform, and it was kind of a garbage movie, anyhow. Yeah.
Well,
so.
No, don't say that, dude. The Dork Patrol will get in here and they'll beat us all with you know.
I watched it on Friday night, and you know, I'd heard some of your rundown, mm-hmm. you know, not being non-specific, and as I was watching it. I was seeing all the same parts, and I was like, you know what, this movie really doesn't deserve to be that good.
And here's the thing, and. Part of me wants to say, like, this is the last I'll say about it, but I know that's not true because, for better or worse, it is what people are talking about.
Yeah.
It is. It's big. Transformers are not only big, generally speaking, in the culture, but, I mean, look, it's $150 million.
Right.
I mean, it's a big movie.
Yeah.
It's not that it's not a great movie, and it's not, to me, even, like, so bad that it's enjoyable. To me, it's the unforgivable sin of being mediocre. That's
right.
the Transformers to me.
Well, see,
and I know that people, and look, I don't even want to start with specifics,
no.
but there's people I know, people in my life, in my circle of acquaintances, mm-hmm. who it's like, I can't even say, like, so how's the weather? Without them, like, immediately trying to pick a fight with me about the Transformers.
yeah.
How are things? You're a jerk! You know? And it's like, and I got people, like, sending me, like, 50-page emails
wow.
about, like, deconstructing my notes. It's a weird thing to, like, see your annotated notes on the Transformers sent back to, I got a friend of mine. I won't use the person's name.
Yeah.
But, you know, I posted on my blog
yeah.
just because I didn't want to do some long-winded, typical essay review or whatever, but I knew I had to talk about it because it's a big movie. So I did my thing of, like, my, whatever, my 35 small thoughts or whatever to Transformers. I have a friend of mine who copied those, like, 35 notes into Microsoft Word and went through them and added, like, responses to each note in, like, bright red type, like, teacher correcting an essay, pasted it back in and, like, sent it to me.
That's called fisking. That's called fisking. There's a word for that. It happens on the internet
S-K,
constantly.
S-K.
Yes.
Not S-T.
Fisking.
Fisking. I don't know. It comes from some dude who got famous for basically taking any essayist argument,
right.
breaking it down line by line, and then individually responding to each line. So, yeah, the guy who sent you that has probably had a very long and storied career on the internet.
Yeah. All it missed was one of those wacky animated things where the smiley face takes off his top hat and, like, dances and then explodes or something.
Yeah.
So,
well, my major argument with the movie is, I mean, all the good stuff didn't happen until, like, the last 20 minutes of the movie.
And Prime bites like a bitch.
He does.
Let's just say it. But that's the one of the more, I mean, I didn't even bother to mention that. I know that I understand that Shia's character, he helps the Autobot mm-hmm. win and whatever, but I mean, it was so unsatisfying just to see Prime getting pummeled.
I didn't even remember why he got his ass beat. I just remembered that he was down on his face at one point.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the movie, but I was watching it with a Bay handicap. Because I've seen so many Michael Bay movies, I knew what to expect going in. So maybe it was kind of an unfair advantage for me. So when things would pop up, I'm like, oh, I mean, he was actually making fun of himself a couple times.
Wait, with,
like,
the 360?
The 360,
yeah.
He's like, look at me, I did this in Bad Boy 2, and it was corny then. And it's just as corny now with a boombox that turns into a robot
right.
you playing
know,
Martin Lawrence.
And people, and I guess my thing is, I went into it, here's my problem. I went into it. Sort of, my handicaps sort of canceled each other out because on the one hand, I was like, well, that's Michael Bay.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I thought, well, Spielberg is involved.
Right.
And maybe Spielberg will have some good, you know, like an osmosis thing. Like his influence will bleed in Toby Hooper style into Michael Bay.
If there was any influence from Spielberg, it bled into the household scenes with the family. Yeah. That's it. That's the entirety of Spielberg's influence. And to be fair, those scenes I thought were actually the most effective. Not even the robots fighting. I thought Shia hanging out with his parents and annoying them and them getting annoyed and him trying to hide his giant Transformers like pets was probably the most effective part of the movie, and there was no robots punching each other. That's something about your Transformers.
That's my Bay handicap. That's how it worked in reverse for me, because I was expecting, since it's Michael Bay, everything should explode. Like, starting from 10 minutes in the movie, everything should explode.
Somebody ought to make that. Just called a Michael Bay movie, and literally it's just a series of things blowing up. The camera just goes down the mailbox. Tree. Whale.
It's like a bunch of like regular household commercials. So, like, you're advertising a vacuum cleaner, it turns into a robot and explodes in your face.
And that didn't, the exploding didn't really start happening until near the end of the movie. Yeah. And that's, I got bored.
Hey, by the way, this, you know what should be an honorary Michael Bay film then is Jaws 4. Because if you saw, I think it's the theatrical version of Jaws 4, because if you get the, there's a copy, because it's not out on DVD, I don't think so, but if you get a copy on the net, it's floating around, it's got all the different endings. There's that ending, which I think was the one in the theaters, of Jaws 4. With Michael Caine, who I think just won an Oscar, where Ellen Brody is driving the boat with the long, you know, prow or whatever it is, but like the long pointy spear wooden thing on the end of the boat. The shark comes up out of the water, I swear to Christ, roars like a lion. Sharks have no vocal cords, of course, but it, you know, as it comes out of the ocean, she spears the shark with a wooden stick, and then the shark explodes in fire. Doesn't just explode like the one does in Jaws, the original. Explodes in a big thing of like flame and smoke.
Yes.
For no readily apparent reason.
Something like that happened in that Van Helsing movie, which I never really watched.
I never saw that.
I saw it on a commercial, and I thought that gave me all I needed to know about how bad this movie was going to be.
Yes.
It showed a werewolf running after a guy on a horse and carriage, and the werewolf slams into the side of the carriage. Both the carriage and the werewolf explode in a ball of flame. But not like the carriage was carrying, like, you know, kegs of gunpowder. Werewolves against wood is a naturally occurring explosive, apparently. I had no idea.
Fantastic.
Oh, speaking of Michael Caine, I wanted to just throw this in.
Yeah.
He did Jaws the Revenge, Jaws 4, because he wanted a couch.
I don't understand.
He's gone on record. That's the only reason he took that movie.
Like, there was something he wanted to buy?
Yeah. So he wanted a couch.
See,
he spotted like a couch in Morocco.
I can admire that. I'm just waiting to hear what John Turturro's explanation is.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
He's got a fetish.
One of the
That's all that
As Vern put it, you know, one of the finest actors of our generation has to get R. Kelly'd on camera for people, you know, to think he's funny.
Must be his hog's wallet blood.
Nerd. Well, I think, you know, Paul McCartney has said that. Even the Beatles have said that. Paul, I have this interview with Paul McCartney where he says that he and John Lennon used to literally, these are his words, used to literally sit down and go, let's run a swimming pool. And, like, that was their thing. They would see something they wanted, a car or whatever, they'd be like, let's write that car.
Yeah.
And then they'd go home and they'd write some trifle. They'd write birthday.
They'd write car.
Exactly, totally. Car. Yeah. And then they have it. So, all right.
So, yes, we lost the bet.
Yeah.
Well, what can you do? I'll be gracious. I won't gloat about it.
Yeah, you will.
So how are we going to do this? Like, the production value and everything?
Oh, that is true.
Are we
never
produce this?
So just for the, as they used to say in The Phantom, for those who came in late, the deal was that if I lost the bet, I was going to have to name check your guys' website at the top of every show.
Yeah.
Now that you have lost the bet, you have to name check rickemerson.com at the top of every show. So we never did discuss, is this going to be done live? Is it going to be a production
piece?
Yeah,
I was thinking
we were going to do it live. Because Jackass was the one over here who picked the
number. Oh, I see. Now it's all on him.
He's the one who has to do it.
Yeah, so he'll do his normal, oh, hell yes, Court and Fatboy show, and then I will go, brought to you by Rick Emerson on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Go to rickemerson.com.
Fantastic. Is it going to be phrased exactly like that?
Yes, every time.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Thank you.
Anything else you want to add?
No, it would be ungentlemanly of me. I don't wish to pile on. That would be.
All right.
We're just very grateful for the free promotion. Thank you.
Yeah, no. Have you heard any of the Scotty J audio?
Yes, I heard some of Jesus.
Court?
God.
No.
Maybe we should go out with it.
I'll send you out with a smile on your face.
Okay.
I don't want you to be wallowing in painful defeat all day.
What sort of audio is this?
I'll just be wallowing in your own defeated shame. What?
What sort of audio
Scotty
is this?
Scotty J is drunk at the Vanilla Ice
we
show.
We did Vanilla Ice. Yeah, our 777 event. We had Vanilla Ice and much of other bands. Great time was had by all. Scotty J was there.
Did you already tell the story about some dude getting punched in the face? I heard about that.
I did. Well, I got an email reminding me that there was a little brawl in front of the stage.
Yeah.
Because
My brother and sister-in-law showed up, and Sarah upstairs went as well, and they both said, it was cool until someone got punched in the face.
Oh, Sarah Wagner really? Told you that?
Yeah.
I'll have to track her down and ask her about that.
Yeah.
So Scotty was really loaded, so yeah. loaded that his opening question to Sarah and I this morning was, you know, he's like, did I take a picture with Vanilla Ice? When, in fact, it was like a 20-minute process getting his photo taken with Vanilla Ice. And if you look at the photo, I look really unhappy. It's like, hey, he's smiling, and Vanilla Ice looks great, and then I'm like, seething because Scotty was so drunk I told the story in the beginning of the show, but and we'll play this and then we got a break. But he's upstairs and it's like a whole entourage of people and Vanilla Ice up there and Tommy Heath Two Tone is up there. There's a whole bunch of people, a lot of guys, a lot of big, muscly, ripped looking guys, and a lot of girls, the kind of girls who you always see backstage.
Right. Yes.
And every time one would walk by, Scotty would point at her ass and just go, whoa! And I was like, dude, you are going to get us beaten and thrown into the alley and we're going to be curb stomped. So it was like this long, drawn-out event, but he has no recollection.
How much Jesus juice did he have at the show?
I don't even remember.
I saw him drink a pint glass full of Crown Royal.
Jesus!
Seriously, because he ordered me a vodka soda water, yeah, yeah. And mine was half and half, and then he's like, just fill her up, and he, the entire thing.
Little Missy.
And he had a straw in it, and he was just sipping that sucker down.
Wow. Keep it coming. I guess we'll play the shorter one. This is Scotty J talking about the quality of the women who were at the event. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Scotty J.
Why do you want Vanilla Ice to be your brother?
Which he did say.
Well, it's Jake, this guy is Joe, everything. Me?
Yeah.
Scotty J, Vanilla Ice, my brother?
What'd you think of the women, though? At least the women were hot tonight.
Hell yes. Hell
what
yes.
were your thoughts on the women at Outlaws?
The women at Outlaws tonight were un-freaking believable.
Sounds like he has MS.
Yeah.
What was hot about him?
Ass.
Anything else or just the ass?
Cops.
What kind of women do you like? What do you find attractive in a woman?
Boobs.
What would your message be to the women at Outlaws tonight? If you had one thing to say to them.
Scotty J. I'm with you tonight.
Is there one girl in particular you would send that out to?
What? No, it's a girl. I have a vibe. They know who I am.
What's the one they know who you are? Did you introduce yourself?
I introduced myself to about a 30 women tonight.
What was the general reaction?
I hate you.
Did you go back and try again?
Nope. Nope.
Did you make a positive impression on any women?
Nope. It's all in this game.
There you go, kids. Scotty J. Gordon Fatboy, Rock Jesus. 101 tonight, 7 to midnight. Brought to you by the Rick Emerson Show. Mm-hmm. Back after this. You stay right there. Hello. In just a moment, we'll pay another visit to Tim Riley. Let me get a couple people been very patient and holding. Let's see. Hi, Melanie. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. Never, never, never stop playing that. I just looked at myself in the mirror. I look like Courtney Love, makeup running down my face, and I wet myself.
Sexy.
So you can play for three hours straight. 4 hours. 4 hours would be good.
So you're pretty much hot as balls right now, really. All right, excellent.
I've never loved so hard in my life.
Oh, well, we'll continue to roll those out. Those aren't going anywhere.
Thank you.
All right, hey, this is for you. All right.
Thank you.
What are some
bye.
Words that would describe Vanilla Ice's personality, having met him like you did?
Oh, dude, totally persuasive. Totally wants you to believe his ice. And he wants you to slide along with his goddamn.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Anybody have Sprint anymore?
No.
I thought it went away. Well, they're disconnecting more than 1,000 customers for calling their customer service lines too often and making what the company called unreasonable requests.
I want my service to operate properly.
These customers are calling to agree we felt was excessive. Therefore, they're pulling the plug on them.
That'll teach them. Lower your standards.
Well, sparks fly in the wrong place at the Beyonce concert last night. Two people were injured when the pyrotechnics meant to be on stage fell into the first row instead. Two concertgoers were taken to a Jewish hospital. Their injuries were reported as minor and expected to make a full recovery. So even though this incident happened, the show just went on.
There was pyro at Vanilla Ice, and you know, and I would just say everybody has the same thought now. When you're in a club and there's any sort of pyro, everybody just sort of has that great white thought go through their head. Mm-hmm. But so this is a horrible thing to say. Because I mean, I imagine ever since that incident, things are really safe. The people.
As a matter of fact, right after that happened is when we had that disastrous listener party up north. When they pushed all those people in together,
a big fire trap. We all would have died. Yeah.
Well, that's what Clyde said. Clyde was imagining that happening.
Yeah, of course he was. But on Saturday when they were doing the pyro, I was totally looking around trying to see, like, can I climb over Tommy Two-Tone to get out that window? Probably. I was totally thinking, he's kind of older. He's a slight-looking man. I could probably take him on my way out the emergency door. All right.
Well, a 67-year-old woman missing from Idaho has turned up at a Walla Walla Super 8 motel. Apparently, she just wanted to kick up her heels for a bit.
Living the high life.
Linda Cook called her husband and said she was okay at the Super 8. Apparently, she thought that she was in Malala by mistake. So,
Malala, Walla Walla, doesn't matter.
Well, apparently, she'll enjoy their Walla Walla onions there while she's there.
Hello, Dan. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yes, I was a little confused at the end of the Vanilla Ice concert. He just walked off stage.
I know. He gave a goodbye. He gave a thanks for coming out and peace or whatever.
Yeah, it was just, and all of a sudden Bob Marley music played, and then that was it.
Well, I don't think that's so much him as it was the venue, because the deal that these venues normally have is that they don't want people to go home right after the headliner is done. So what they do is the headliner will finish, and then like 0.005 seconds after the final chord is played or whatever, is that they go right to the DJ. And the DJ's like, stay here, keep drinking. So, yeah. Hey, by the way, just while we're talking about the music, we got to say this. How cool was this? If you didn't go to the Vanilla Ice show, you didn't see this. It was him. He had a DJ who was doing like a turntable and the sampler. And then he had a live drummer, which really made all the difference. That's what made that set sound so great. Is that it was Vanilla Ice doing the vocals, a guy doing some sampling and some scratching, and then there was a live drummer, a guy who I swear to God his name apparently is Clint Eastwood. But a guy... it was a live drummer for that set, which gave it really just a fullness and just a real vitality that I don't think you would get. Because most, let's be honest, I mean, I've seen not a lot, but I've seen my share of live rap acts, and a lot of them are not really live. It's just guys over a backing track or a DAT, and a lot of times even the vocals are on the DAT, and guys are just sort of chanting along with their own vocals. This was the live drummer, and I saw LL Cool J with a live drummer one time, which was really great. And the live drummer makes all the difference in the world. So that's one of the things that made that set so great. But yeah, no, you're right. They couldn't wait to get that DJ on because they want people to stay. They want the Scotties of the world to stay there and keep drinking.
Well, I have to admit, I've seen Vanilla Ice before, but with a full band. And that was, when he was trying to do his...
When he was doing his metal thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was actually, it was pretty good.
No, he... For what it's worth, that guy seems to do whatever he seems to do what he wants to do at this point. He doesn't, whether it's as successful as he was or whether he's ever that successful again, whatever. He does seem to be kind of following his own path right now. So I think he's probably figured out that the door to the top 40 charts are not going to be open to that guy again. So he's just kind of he's making his own way, I guess.
I didn't get to hear it earlier, but what was your whole observation of the whole show?
It was just great. It was, not like I was familiar with a lot of material. Obviously, like, I got kind of a casual knowledge of that guy. But he could have, as I said at the top of the show, and this is sort of my final thought on him, is that that's a guy who could dress up like he did in the 90s and put his hair in the dumb thing and put on the stupid pants. And every single week, that guy could be playing a different high school or college reunion for like 10 grand a pop and making money off fat suburban housewives. I mean, he could very easily choose the path that a lot of those 80s and 90s guys choose. The fact that he's out there playing original material, putting out original records, and just playing at a little club show like that, I mean, you got to respect the guy for kind of following his own path. So, all right, there you go. Dan, thank you, my friend. Back after this, we'll wrap it up. The like is coming up at the top of the hour, 3 o'clock, Donna Mike at 7, etc. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
We now enter the saddest part of the broadcast today, the final segment of the Rick Emerson radio show. Hello, Scotty.
How's it going?
I don't know.
Hanging in there?
What?
Nothing.
I don't understand. Oh, wait. I should have been prepared with our... all right. So, I know that I asked you this when you were really plastered. Final thoughts on Saturday Night
Live? I thought
it
was a great concert. I do like the guy. I don't know why I was saying that, but I was probably trying to be funny.
Okay. Have you seen the photograph yet?
I have not.
In fact, I don't, you know, my browser's kind of locked up on me over here, so I'm not, let me see if I can bring it up right now. I don't, and I'm going to the website not knowing if it's posted or not. Let's see, 970. You know, one of these days this
audio will go away.
One of these days this webpage won't suck. Let me see here. I'm going to the 970.am website right now. And Jason Crump, God bless him, sent me about, oh, here we go. AM 970, proudly presented Vanilla Ice 7707.
Where's it under?
It's on the front page. You scroll about halfway down, look for a little snapshot of the stage. These are just a bunch of pictures. Okay, here we go. Here's a picture of us. Boy, these are some great photographs. Boy, those guys at Vanished Twin, this is not a paid endorsement, but those guys are great. There's Scotty looking really, really happy. Vanilla Ice in the middle, and then me looking really like...
Oh, my God. You do look annoying.
The thought in my head is like, I swear to God, Scotty, if you say something embarrassing or throw up on Vanilla Ice, I will leave you here and you'll be beaten to death.
Well, I don't think he hated me or nothing.
No, but
or
I mean...
nothing?
Or nothing. He didn't get a chance to because we hustled out of there just so quick. Because he told it, and again, it's not like we're players or something. He's like, hang out, sit down, let's do Jaeger shots. And I was like, you know, love to stay, gotta go. So, all right. Well, all right. Thanks to everybody that came out on Saturday to our 777 event for Vanilla Ice. And thank you, everybody who was there, and we appreciate it, and so forth. So that never goes unappreciated. We thank you for coming out and supporting us. All right. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Jim Roop and Steve Castamom. Our apologies to Lisa Goddard, to whom we did not get today. We also want to thank Court and Fatboy from CourtandFatboy.com, proudly sponsored by the Rick Emerson Show for the next 5 days. And Clyde Lewis from GroundZeroMedia.org. And again, thanks to everybody who came out to see our 777 event on Saturday. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970, Solid State Radio in the newsroom, Tim Riley. Our PA is Scotty J. And, of course, the gatekeeper, Dave Zinn. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Do try to help the retarded, as I did today. And watch out for snakes. Like us next. See you all tomorrow. Bye now.
What are some words that would describe Vanilla Ice's personality? Having met him, like you did.
Oh, dude, totally persuasive, totally... wants you to believe his ice, and he wants you to slide along with his goddamn.